participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
The Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Who's going to be screaming what tonight at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah!
That's right.
And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Inferiority Complex and all the ships at sea. After a busy night of shopping with the Widow Thomas for a biggie casket, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and
Hey, Rob, come on back in, Rob.
Goodbye, Rob.
Bye, Rob.
Some might say that this is the way we should do the show every day.
Yes, indeed.
Without Rob. Hello, and thank you for listening. I'll let him back in.
Come on, Rob. Come on.
Hey, it's great to see you. Have you heard about Avery Shriver?
Listen, hi, and thank you for listening, everybody, to the Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday.
January 8th. Here's your phone numbers for instant access. From anywhere in America, you're hearing us. 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027.
All right.
All right, there's your phone numbers. It's the Elvis birthday show.
Yeah.
And we will begin that in just a moment.
Very excited about that show.
Today's show is jam-packed. We also, as Rob just alluded to, we'll have the dead Dave Thomas, the Wendy's guy. He'll be on the show later today.
Oh, very good.
Let me see. Michael Jordan is getting a divorce.
Yep. Yeah, big news.
We want to talk about that. We've got the two ass wives who are in front of the movie theater in Seattle.
Yes.
We do know that the lap dance that we ordered for them arrived yesterday afternoon.
So they received their lap dance?
Yes. We are waiting to talk to the hoe in a moment. We don't go on the air in Seattle for another hour.
I remember the hoe's name, though. It's Jasmine.
So when we go on the air in Seattle 1 hour from now, we'll be able to hear from the good people of that fine city to find out who went down and saw the guys. And
on this fine stage, in this fine forum.
And we should get some kind of a mention from them when they're on the Today Show or whatever. Are the national phones up and operating? I see all of the New York lines are ringing.
The blower activated.
But I got nothing on the national lines. I got nothing. I got dick. I got zip. Let me see.
Hello?
Yep, someone's got to switch that line over, please. Switch that over. Let's go to this one. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Speak to us, sir.
You're on the air. Hello.
Go ahead, Siri.
Is this me?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's hard to tell. My name is Greg. I live in Katona, right next to where you're bowling. And after you guys done bowling, I want to know if you wanted to come to a bar with me and some of my friends.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's tomorrow night. Now, listen, we're bowling tomorrow night. We're bowling firefighters. in the basement of the firehouse in Bedford, New York.
Bedford.
So we can't have any spectators come because it's a real firehouse.
Right. Yeah, and if something happens, they got to be able to get around and move. Right.
But we're going to bring we're going to bring tape recorders with us.
We're going to talk to any of these firefighters. I want to find out what they have in store for us.
I don't know.
You know, when I think of anything going out to a fire station or a police station, it always gets back to the movie Rounders with me. Do you remember the movie Rounders
of
where they went up to the big poker game
and they left the city
and they went up to a place like Bedford?
They got the crap beaten out of them.
Yeah, I think of that when I think of going to the firehouse.
And if there's a fire, if there's an alarm they have to respond to, I have two questions. Do we win by forfeit? That's my first question.
No, we do a ride-along.
And
that was my second question.
That's exactly it. You do a ride-along.
We ride on the truck.
Yeah.
Actually, guys, one of my cousins used to be a volunteer fireman with them. His name is Tony Ciccone, and my other cousin is an EMT with them. They'd probably ask you to go along with
any
them.
Any relation to Madonna?
Ciccone. I got a Ciccone.
Ciccone, right?
Yeah, Ciccone. Yeah, he broke his neck playing lacrosse. Is now in a wheelchair.
Oh, sorry. All right. But
you asked him about him. Everybody in the town loves him.
What does that have to do with Madonna?
Exactly. Well, no, Tony Ciccone is the guy who originally started you thinking about Madonna.
Yeah, and I asked this guy if Tony Ciccone is related to Madonna, and then he said something about a wheelchair, and it completely threw me for a loop.
Well, Tony Ciccone broke his neck.
And he's in a wheelchair?
Yes.
Okay, well, is he related to Madonna?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, thank you.
There you go.
Listen, hold on a second. We'll get your information.
Look forward to going to the bar with you and your friends.
We would love to go out and get hammered with you tomorrow night.
Sure.
You know, I hate to keep making the focus of the show Mike and his ongoing battles with life.
Yes.
But I got to start with that today.
What now?
I got to start with that today.
Well, I talked to Don this morning and explained to him that, you know, I had mentioned on the show yesterday that I had have a bit of difficulty reaching
completion.
I remember. Well, now I have total difficulty reaching completion. I tried an experiment last night, and as I was saying to you at breakfast today, I'm not sure whether... I don't even think I was in the mood to do that.
Yeah.
I know guys are always in the mood to do that. But I think I was more or less doing it as an experiment.
Sure.
To see if I could. And it might have been the film I had selected. It might have been the fact that I put too much pressure on myself. But the fact is, the cold, evil, hard, or not hard fact.
Rock hard fact.
The turgid fact is, I was unable to.
So
now, you know, I have been warned about the side effects of this Paxil stuff, and I will tell you, I don't know whether it's in my big head, but I'll tell you this right now.
It's in your little head, too.
You know, this will not wash.
No.
This will not wash. Now, you had said also at breakfast today, you said, am I supposed to wait a particular amount of time?
Well,
I'm not sure how long I can wait.
Now, I don't know if you've done the research. Yesterday, I actually went on the Paxil website.
I'm so glad that you did.
I did.
And what did it say?
And it said that the sexual side effects take 6 to 10 weeks, that you got to let this get into your system for 6 to 10 weeks before you get your mojo back.
Oh, so you mean after 6 to 10 weeks it gets better?
That is what you should go on the site at some point.
I will. I talk to my doctor. I don't go on the, you know, I'm still trying to get furniture in my apartment.
So, this is like,
and I can't do that either.
The gayest conversation I've ever had with Mike. It was this morning.
I mean, I just want to get a sofa bed into my apartment, and I know I waited till the last minute, and I know your wife helped you out with all this stuff, and I'm trying to get this stuff done, and nobody seems to want to help.
So the last thing, when I left Mike last night,
right,
we were discussing, among other things, the sexual problem.
Yes.
And I had no idea that he was going to go have this experiment. We all went to dinner last night.
Right.
I get up this morning. I call Mike because he's now, you know, the neighbor. He's in the same building as I'm in.
Well, you didn't call me. You called the door person to call me in the apartment and say, and they said, call this apartment. And I called you back, and that's how we communicated.
Yeah, they got an intercom system because Mike doesn't have a telephone hooked up.
Right,
he's just got his cell phone. So he calls me, and the first thing he says to me, right out of the chute, I said, hey, buddy, I wanted to tell you some stuff. And he says, it's really bad. I couldn't do it last night.
Oh.
It's not happening.
Right. I have a Chinese name.
It was like...
But I don't think we can say that on the radio.
I think you can, instead of using the word you wanted, you
Mike can't see.
Yeah, Mike can't complete.
Right, Mike can't complete.
But there is a better word.
Mike can't finish. Mike can't...
You know?
Like, you know, right. Know.
Jack Talk Tie. Jack Talk Tie, good. So, there we are. I'm in that situation, and I'm not happy about it.
Let's see if they delete it out, because I bet that Mike can't come to the party. That's your new Japanese, your warrior name there.
We'll know soon enough what the deal is with that.
But Mike can't come to the party.
So, you know, it's difficult, and I will get on the website. If you're telling me that this is supposed to pass after a while.
I went on Paxil.com.
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of information. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should get on there. You should read it. You're taking the pill. You should.
You know, I'm curious what they say about, like, if you don't take it at the exact same time every day, because I know I got a little wacky the last couple of days, and I think it's because I didn't take it at the exact same time. I'm feeling much more together today.
Don't know. All I know is that you moving into this apartment, I'd like to say this also. This reminds me of when I moved into my very first apartment when I was like 16, when I moved out of my parents'
house.
Yeah,
I have nothing.
No,
I have two televisions.
You are
on the floor.
You're the worst.
I have the cable hooked up, but I don't have a chair.
You're lucky that you got Con Ed to turn your power on, for God's sake.
Got the power turned on, got the cable turned on, have a mattress, you know. I'd like to thank a fine client, 1-800-MATTRESS, of the Don and Mike show that, you know, they set the whole thing up, and, you know, I wasn't even there, and now what I'm just trying to do is find somebody. I don't care. I don't care what kind of furniture I get. It's got to be a sofa bed because, you know, I'm going to have my kids come up occasionally and they've got to sleep on something. And so what I'm trying to do is find somebody
Simmons.
In the city that'll just, you know, like get it over there quick, like there's a floor model or something.
There's a million places that you can
go. There are a million places that are going to have you wait from like 2 weeks to 8 weeks. And I probably should have done this sooner. I know that. I know you're looking at me like I probably should. I'm going to go to a couple of stores today and see if I can get, like a table to put a lamp on because my bedroom's dark and I don't have any curtains. I have a bathroom. I have a shower, curtain though.
Yeah.
With little pretty dolphins on it.
You realize that if you drive through the lots of parts of the greater New York area, there are tables and stuff that are sitting on the side of the road. Don't forget that Frida actually picked up a table
right.
that somebody had thrown away, and that's the table that's like a coffee table that's in our bedroom now.
Well, I went into Jennifer Convertibles just a moment ago, and they had a floor sample, $69. Interesting. Number, isn't it? They had a $69 table that had been marked down from $300, and I'm like, hey, this is great. And then they say, as is condition. Uh-huh. And I went to look at it, and I touched it, and it almost collapsed because it was so flimsy. And
you're better off on the street then. Get a truck. Just go around the city.
Yeah, get a truck. Okay, Buzz. Yeah, get a truck. How am I supposed to get a truck?
You can rent a truck a lot faster than you can get furniture.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll work it out. I'm going to work it out this afternoon.
You're funny.
I've got the bed, so all I need really is a table
to put
the TV on in the bedroom, and then I can just lie on the bed. I don't need to sit on anything.
You need drapes, though. You need drapes.
Well, you didn't have drapes until like a week ago, right?
No, we've had drapes since day one.
Where'd you get your drape? Well, I'll ask you after the air.
At the Pottery Barn.
All right.
Uh-huh.
At the Pottery Barn.
You just go in and buy them and take them home?
Yeah, you buy the rods and you buy the drapes and then you go up and...
Did you do that or did your wife do that?
No, I believe my wife did that.
Okay.
I believe my wife did that.
All right, you.
But no, come on. It's funny.
My wife's not up here helping me out and I realize how much I rely on her.
It's funny.
And, you know, it's falling apart.
It's funny.
It'll be fine.
It's funny that you're living in an apartment with no furniture and with no...
I have a liter bottle of Diet Coke now in the refrigerator. That is the only item in my refrigerator. I have two rolls of paper towels. I have a four-pack of toilet paper. I have a Dial refill bottle to put in my soap dispenser, which has the little floating dolphins in it.
That's nice.
And I have a bed in a bag that I put all my bedding together. Last night I stuffed my pillows. I have pillow liners. And I have two televisions. And that's it.
That's a start.
I have a toaster and a coffee maker, and I don't even drink coffee.
Don't you have a TV stand? You said
no. Well, I have a TV stand, but I tried to put it together. It needed a Phillips screwdriver, and I couldn't put it together with my knife that I bought at Bed Bath & Beyond.
I think I have one on my keychain. I could have.
Oh, you do?
A mess. All right. I am a mess.
You are a mess. You are falling apart.
Do you know
apart.
What it is? You know, really, and I felt it at breakfast today. I'm really feeling pressure right now. I'm feeling pressure with everything. I'm feeling there's. It's just a lot to do. To come up here, to do the show, and to get this together, I am, and to have have the you know, the wife at home, and you know, I'd like to be at home right now. I'm in a very weird space right now.
Yeah.
I think if I didn't have this medication, I may be having a nervous breakdown right
but
now.
But if you didn't have the medication, you would be just
yeah, but you know, that wouldn't matter.
You would be like the fountain of youth. Your penis would be like the fountain of youth.
This is true. But if you say 6 to 8 weeks, that means I've got about 3 weeks to go. Right.
Also, I want to mention the gay ear warming thing that you bought.
I'm walking through the city and I got my overcoat on and it's not enough. It's very, very cold.
Yes.
When you get into the open areas, which you know, when you get out from behind some of the larger buildings, you get a terrific crosswind, a terrific breeze. So I duck into the gap and for $20, I got a scarf and I got some delightful ear warmers.
So
is that what it's called?
Well, let me tell you something right now. My ear warmers are not nearly as gay as what that man just took out of his coat.
Buzz has earmuffs.
They're fuzzy.
Buzz has blue fuzzy earmuffs.
Wow.
And yesterday when Mike and I saw Buzz pull these out of his pocket,
right,
we made him put them on in the elevator so we could see Buzz with his...
There they are.
...with his earmuffs on.
There they are.
And Buzz, I know that I've been told by Lisa to tread lightly on this, but I'm not going to tread lightly on this. We are getting brand new bowling shirts, and you cannot take the name Melwood off your bowling shirt.
Why?
You can't.
Now, why do I have to wear that name?
Because we're all wearing our horrible name.
I'm the only one who has a horrible name.
No, I'm Pax. You don't think Pax wearing my medication on my shirt is not horrible?
Goose.
Not as bad.
Rummy. Head.
Rummy? You don't think Rummy? A nickname that basically says she's got a problem with alcohol on her shirt.
Most people don't even know that Melwood is a place for retards in the D.C. area.
There you go.
They do now.
Yeah, okay. Well, Buzz, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Listen, all I know is that I had to spend the money for the bowling shirts.
And I am excited about these bowling shirts. They're supposed to be beautiful.
And the last thing I want is for you to rip out the stitching of your name, Melwood. And that's what I hear at breakfast today. Lisa says, now listen, tread lightly with Buzz on this, but I think he wants to rip out the name Melwood.
The thought occurred to me, yes.
Now, well, don't do it, please.
Please, okay. Buzz.
All right. Please.
All right,
wait,
thank you.
See it. You'll love it. It's going to be silver and cursive.
Yeah, I'll love it. I'll wear my earmuffs with it.
Come on, do it. Do it for the team.
I'll be wearing my my head warmer. What do you call what I have? They're not earmuffs. What do I? It's
fag muffs.
It's a headband.
Oh, and the best.
Oh, okay. Well, it is, Rob. It's a headband.
I've seen them.
Here's the best thing of all. The waitress down in the Brooklyn Diner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike says to her, can I ask your opinion for a second?
I'm going
to
go get it. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Mike says, I want to put this on, and you tell me what you think of this.
Lovely young lady, like a Gwyneth Paltrow lookalike.
And he puts it on, and she just starts laughing.
Yeah.
She starts laughing. And no, it's not like see, when he says headband,
uh-huh,
you think of like the thing that Jim McMahon wore. You know,
right,
like,
right,
the thing where he wrote like F. Pete Rozelle.
Or Richard Simmons.
This gets
wider at the ears and
right,
covers.
Yeah. It's not a headband.
Right.
It's a big, I mean, in a buzz, it's gayer looking than
and then when the waitress stopped laughing.
Than your earmuffs.
Oh, I don't know.
When the waitress stopped laughing, she said, I think it's nice, sir.
Yeah. So. And also, as further evidence that Mike is falling apart, here's his telephone that he left at the restaurant.
Oh, no.
Oh, so he doesn't even realize this.
No, he doesn't realize that he left his phone there. So.
Here he is.
I grabbed it for him. Here he is.
Oh, no.
Now, Mike, how would you feel about having a picture taken for the WNEW website wearing that?
I'd be proud as punch.
Johnny, if you would bring in the digital camera, please. We can get a picture of Mike and you, the radio consumer. Now, you got to have the picture taken with your headphones off, though.
I will take the headphones off. I'm very proud of that.
And you didn't mention the best feature of the headband ear
warmer.
Yes,
this is the greatest. And this is the Gap, your local Gap.
Yes.
They have a little pocket
right
in the side so you can put your stuff up there. What do you think would most appropriately go up there?
Weed.
Weed?
Weed. I mean, you got to see, it's a little tiny zipper thing off to the left-hand side.
Right up here.
I like pocket
you can
change,
put
I guess.
In there,
right? Sure. Pen would look good. Looks like you pick up Channel 20.
Look.
I think
put your tickets in there.
Snack food.
Yeah, no one would
Subway
steal,
tokens.
No one would steal a ticket sticking out of your headband.
Well, unless they're going to grab your head.
Hello, Carlos. Don and Mike show. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
So, guys, yeah, hey. I heard before about picking up furniture on the streets in New York City.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea, but you got to be careful what you pick up, because when I was in college, we will go, a bunch of friends and I will go to the street in New Manhattan and just pick up furniture.
Right.
And sometimes you can find really cool stuff that just needs to be painted and refurbished, and that's it. But if you pick up like a sofa or something like that, you got to really clean it up, because you can't just bring a bunch of cockroaches.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you got like guys' DNA and stuff on there.
Oh, right? Exactly.
Thank you, Carlos. Hold on. We got to run because Mike's going to get his picture taken now for WNEW.com. Do it without the pen in there, though, Mike.
Did you put the headphones on again?
Johnny likes that look.
And maybe a profile, too.
He looks like
a nice pose.
Johnny.
Nice.
King Guard. Mike is giving you a variety of poses right now.
No.
I mean, what are you going to...
Wait.
Mike is like doing a fashion shoot here.
Okay.
You gotta go to the website.
You have to do one looking at your watch.
John, how long do you
do that in catalog?
How long do you think it'll take you to get those up on the website?
A couple minutes. This is three times as gay as the actual headband though, this posting is going on.
That's true. Yeah, the picture's
very
great.
Fantastic.
Pictures all.
That's going to be a good photo shoot.
Yeah. So anyway, anyone who really wants to know what a man looks like as he is falling apart,
yes,
go to WNEW.com and take a look at the pictures of Mike that should be up very short.
And it wasn't all that fun watching all you imbibe at dinner last night either. You know, I had a little problem with that, too, because I'm not drinking. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Everything's going bad for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all going to come together eventually. It's you know, I'm going to get my reward. I believe in that. And,
yes.
You know, I think it's going to start this afternoon when I just stock my apartment with tons of furniture.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a guy that calls for Buzz.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to introduce him, but he certainly has gotten plenty of play on today's show.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is, Melwood.
Thank you.
Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, Buzz.
Hi, Mike. Hi, sir.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Take care. Right.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Now, today is the Elvis show.
Hey.
The Elvis birthday show. Elvis would have been
67
years old.
My
today.
God, that old.
Yeah. We'll start the Elvis show here in just a second.
Social Security, man.
I had, let me see, from the weekend. God, the weekend seems so long ago now.
Yes.
Two quick things that I never got to about the weekend. Thing number one was that I fell asleep in another movie.
Oh, you did? What did you go see?
The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Well, Frieda and I went to see it, and it was a 4:25 p.m. show. We went to a movie at Reston Town Center, 4:25 on Saturday.
Is that nap time or something like that?
No. It's just, I don't know what it is with me now. If I get in a movie
right.
and it's boring,
yep.
I fall asleep.
So you didn't like it?
No, I didn't care for it, and apparently, according to her, I was, again, snoring.
Oh, no.
Did she like the movie?
Of course she did.
That's two in a row now that she's loved and you've hated.
And the thing is, she's trying to pass this off as my selection. The way we're doing it now is we're going back and forth. We see a movie she wants to see,
right.
then we see a movie that I want to see.
That's
so
fair.
We went to see the Russell Crowe movie,
right.
A Beautiful Mind.
Which hated that.
I didn't like. I was able to stay awake during the whole movie, but I didn't like it. So she said to me on Saturday, okay, it's your chance to pick the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I want to see.
Yeah, not much.
There's nothing good at it. I don't want to see stupid Vanilla Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see Lord of the Rings.
No.
So I said, well, I guess to make her happy, because she wanted to go see whatever the dumb Kevin Spacey movie is, I said, how about...
The Ship at Sea or something like that?
I said, let's go to the Royal Tenenbaums. You know, that's like a movie that's getting good reviews, and you'll like that. So we go to see it, and it sucks. Can't suck enough. I fall asleep during the movie. I snore during the movie. And as we're leaving the theater, I said to her, well, that means next time I get to... pick. Next time we're going to, you know, the next movie we're going to go see, it's whenever the dumb Arnold Schwarzenegger movie comes out.
That's right, Julius.
That's the one I want to go see, The Collateral Damage.
Right, to Richard Kimball.
And she says, no, you can't do that because you picked this movie.
Oh, no.
I said, no. No. I picked this movie for you. And so we went back and forth on this, and then we followed the movie up with maybe the most awkward experience we've had with my son. Two dates.
Oh, no.
We went out on a double date. We went to dinner. Frieda and I and Bart and his girlfriend.
Wow. That, is this a first?
This is a first.
Why did you do this?
We did this because, we are the worst parents in the world. We're the most evil parents in the world.
Did he have to be dragged kicking and screaming into this little social event?
Yes, he did. And we sat, seating arrangement was as such. Frida and Bart's girlfriend sat on one side of the booth, and Bart and I sat on the other side. Now, both Frida and Bart's girlfriend, they were fine. They could not have been happier. They could not have been better adjusted. Both Bart and I were absolutely at our wits' ends.
Nervous wrecks.
Yes, nuts. Anytime I said anything, I would get a kick under the table.
Ouch.
Anytime I said anything about him, I would get a kick under the table.
Dad.
Yeah, but...
Dad.
But he was... But apparently the rule is he's allowed to say anything he wants about me.
Yeah. Right.
So he would start busting my balls, and I would kick him back.
So he's showing off busting your balls.
Right, and I'm not allowed to bust his balls because he's at you know, he's there with his girlfriend, and this apparently is the only way that we can actually get to know the girl that he's dating is to go out to dinner.
But she was unfazed by your bickering.
She was absolutely unfazed, and as a matter of fact, the beautiful moment in the conversation was when all of a sudden everything shifted, and she started busting my son's balls.
Wow.
Because my son, for instance, was wearing, I think, orange pants,
right,
a green Jets sweatshirt.
Sure.
Maybe he had on his multicolored shoes. He had a red stocking cap on.
Right.
And at some point, I just looked at him and I said, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. Just look at you. And as I was getting the kick under the table, like, don't do this,
right,
she pipes in, and she starts busting his balls.
Oh, good.
She doesn't like the way that he dresses.
Right. Smart.
So anyway, for us, as a family, that was a first. That's the first time.
And last?
That don't. I don't think so, because we made a point of saying to Bart the next day, see? And it's so weird that the relationship is flipped around that. Like, we had to say to him the next day, see, Mom and I can be normal.
Right.
Mom and I can be trusted. Mom and I can go out to eat with you and your girlfriend.
Right.
And you see, nothing bad happened.
I'm sure he wasn't eager to repeat the experience.
Right. I don't think he is necessarily against it.
Hmm.
Like he had been against even us meeting this girl.
That wouldn't be wishful thinking on your part, would it?
I don't know. All I know is that it was a first step for us.
I mean, I'm just going based on statistical evidence from the average teenager in general.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I mean, I know when I was that age, I don't think I ever broke bread with my parents, and that's, I know it would probably, I'd probably go kick and screaming into that. Now, when he gets to that certain age, he'll probably enjoy bringing his significant others around. But right now, all they want to do is be alone.
And as a matter of fact, I had to negotiate the fact that he would come to dinner with us because I allowed him to stay at home alone with his girlfriend while we went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a real... Father, as only father and sons can talk,
right?
We had the real father-son talk.
Wow. This may be the part of the conversation that terrifies me right now, as I hear what wisdom you imparted to your son.
Well, here's what I said. I said, Mom and I trust you. Mm-hmm. You're a good guy. You've never done anything to ruin our trust in you. So I've decided, while Mom and I go to the movies, you guys meet us for dinner afterwards. You may stay here with your girlfriend in the house.
Mm-hmm.
However, and then I was very explicit about what I did not want to happen.
Well, wow. Could you possibly share that with
us? Well, I got a rule. I don't want to embarrass my son.
I understand.
I don't want to embarrass my son, but I was very specific about things that, no, Mike, not that.
All right.
I mean, not intercourse, but just anything. I mean,
Well, you said you were very explicit. I mean, I'm just curious but I don't want you to embarrass your kid either. I mean, that's not what it's about. You just gave him, was it birds and bees type of talk?
No. He knows the facts of life. I called him in the room and I shut the door and I said, okay, you can stay, but here, I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot do this, 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 this.
Right.
And as I'm going through the list, he starts laughing at me. And I said, why are you laughing? You're pissing me off. Why are you laughing? He says, Dad, it sounds goofy with you telling me this. I said, but these are my rules.
Right.
Now, you're in my house. That's another thing that I'm huge on now. It's my house, my rules.
As long as you're living under my roof and I'm paying your rent.
Right. You got to do things my way. And
right.
I said, now, I just want to tell you something else that I got a sixth sense about me.
Mm-hmm.
That I will know if you've broken this rule. So I'm now, and of course I have no way of knowing.
Right. Were they in descending order? Were there certain rules that were more priority than other rules?
Yes. I said I knew that there would be some stuff that probably would happen, some innocent stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, like kissing.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe that would happen.
For example.
For example, and I'm not going to get into detail because right. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'll tell you during the commercials.
Okay, all right.
But I went through, and as I went through the list, no, I didn't say, keep your horse in the barn, Fokker. It was nothing like meet the parent.
Oh, okay. All right. Wasn't it a snake in its cage?
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, keep the snake in the cage.
Whatever.
So I had the, and as I was going through this, and I'm looking at this as a huge moment in parenting, he just starts laughing.
Wow.
No. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
I will.
But that is something I mentioned.
Right. None of that. Right.
Okay. The many different hands. Mike, I didn't even go that far.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, maybe you should be specific.
Listen.
Because if you didn't mention that, then you might not do that.
Trust me, I was specific.
Okay.
Right. I was very specific in what I would allow and what I would not allow.
Okay. Okay. I know. I'm
Let
sorry.
Let me just tell you, watch it.
I would know. I know.
You have two young girls.
I know.
And this
I
will
know.
Come back to
I know.
Haunt you
I know.
A million times
I'm
over.
I'm sorry. It's just when you tell these stories, I can't help but get a little goofy. I can't. So why did he laugh, though? Why did he just thought it was weird that you were talking to him about this stuff?
Yeah, and because I was not sugarcoating it. I said, and again, you know, I wish, you know what? I'm going to tell Mike now, so at least Mike knows. Okay?
All right. Okay.
I want everybody who can go to WNEW.com. Mike's gay headband pictures are up.
Very good.
I'm going to tell Mike now. Mike, you come over here. And Buzz and Rob, you just keep the show going just for a second.
Talk among yourselves
just for a second.
You know, Buzz, this is a little creepy for me. I have a daughter as well, and I know that in, what, a short 15 years, this could be an issue for myself.
You're going to face the other end of this someday.
Yeah, so it's with a bit of trepidation that I laugh uproariously.
But I share your concern that there were certain things Don told him not to do, and other things that weren't included on the list. And, you know, I know kids because I know what I was like at that age, and I would immediately do all of the other things that weren't on the don't-do list.
You'd run with your hands over your head screaming.
That's how I became the person I am today.
Now, do you do the same thing with your cats? Do you speak
no.
to your cats if you leave your cats home alone?
No, you know our house. It's helter-skelter. They can do whatever they want.
Sodom and Gomorrah, the cats living together.
No
terrible.
Discipline whatsoever.
Running rampant with kittens.
All right, the boys
all right
are
there
back.
You go. So now
I'm
you know.
Tell you what I think of that.
Now you know what I told my son.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think as the father of two daughters that, you know, are not anywhere near dating age yet, but I will tell you this right now. I hope that when my girls get to be dating age, that every father in the world does what you did. I think that's terrific. I think that is fantastic that you did that.
But you can
I don't
realize
think a lot of dads do that.
But
though,
now
right?
you can realize why he was laughing.
Yeah,
because as
yes,
I was,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, because I was very explicit.
No, that makes me feel good because I hope that there are more fathers out there that really go into detail and say, hey, you know, here are the guidelines.
Now again, I'm not such a dope that I don't think that. You know, that maybe he observes the rule in the house, but, you know, when he goes somewhere else, that some of those things will or will not happen. I'm not that stupid.
But it's good because if you set those kind of parameters, I think it avoids, you know, trouble down the road.
But that was another reason for the awkwardness at dinner.
Good
because,
for you.
Because when
I'm
they,
glad you told me. That makes me feel good.
When they arrived at dinner, one of the first things I did was I pulled him aside and I said, you know, without the anyone else around, I said,
right.
So... how'd things go at home? He said, things went fine. I looked at him and I said, things go fine like we talked about? He said, oh, yeah. I said, good man.
Good.
That's my man.
Excellent. And you guys like her, too, right?
Yeah.
You're very fond of her.
Yeah, but he was like almost falling on the floor laughing.
Sure.
And, you know, I wish I could tell you, but I've got to respect my,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I
no,
want my son to have some dignity for
sure,
me.
Sure, of course. Right. I understand, and I'm glad you did what you did.
Hello,
Bart, listen to your father.
John. Hello, Johnny.
Yes.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hey, all right.
Don.
Yes.
Now, I've got a question your decision-making in terms of how you're raising your son.
Oh, please do.
I think you gotta, you know, give him a little more leeway.
I give my kid a ton of leeway.
I mean, you don't want him to, you know, go into the locker room with his girlfriend after school and have to do it there. You know, wouldn't you rather him be comfortable?
Do you have any kids, sir?
No.
My kid is a shocker.
My kid is 16.
In the locker room.
My kid is 16.
You've been 16.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Like I just said, anything that's going to happen is going to happen with my kid or with anybody else's kid.
Please don't bring any sons into the world if you're somebody. I just want him to be comfortable.
But,
Jesus Christ.
But you don't want him coming home with poison ivy all over himself.
Well, you know, and if that happens, that happens.
I'm sorry. This is like one of those internet freaks.
But I am not the type of parent that's going to say, well, you know what, it's going to happen anyway, so here you go. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a pack of condoms.
No.
Knock yourself out.
Not carte blanche.
No, absolutely not. Get out of here,
this
please,
guy
you
raised,
freak.
Raising children based on the movie Porky's.
Hello? You don't want him to come home uncomfortable with poison ivy.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Come on in.
Hello. Yeah, what's up?
Hey.
How you doing? Okay. I just want to say, my dad, every time he used to sit down, screaming, I used to laugh my head off.
You know what? My dad never, ever, ever, because he was, you know, Jesuit educated, you know, Roman Catholic family. I tell you, I never got to talk like that.
Nor did I.
Unless he'd get really mad.
My dad used to curse a lot. And whenever he said I couldn't help it.
I didn't get it from my mom either. I got all my information on the street.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it was. I'm sure we're not alone. I mean, in that generation, it wasn't like you sat down and did that. And I think it's good because when you do that, what you did with your kid, he knows that you're at least hip to what's going on.
Of course he knows.
You know what? Even if he's going to do something when he's not in your house, that's going to be in his head.
It's true.
No matter what. That's going to be in his mind when he does that, and I think that's a good
idea. And I'm not hidden from him the fact that, I mean, Jesus Christ, he listens to the show. He knows that I was in radio when I was 16.
Right.
And I was, you know, doing stuff that, Jesus Christ, I'd kill him if he did half the... If he did one-tenth of the stuff that I did when I was a kid. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thanks.
Don, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Did you follow the same rules that you talked to Bart about
when
you were young?
No, of course not. No, and I don't make any bones about lying to my son about that. I don't tell my kid that I was a saint when I was a kid. As a matter of, and I've told lots of stories on the air. You know, listen, my parents, they wouldn't even deal with girls and stuff. Do you know one time, I know I've told this before, and I'll bore you with it just for a second.
Okay.
One time, I'm like, I had my driver's license, so I had to be at least 16. I was at my house with my girlfriend. We were in my bedroom, and I had my shirt off, and I had her shirt off. She's sitting there in her bra, mm-hmm. and we were making out. My mother walked in.
Right.
I walked in the room. My mother walked in, and I said, this is the dumbest, I mean, I'm 16, I said, Mom, hi, we are just trying on each other's clothes. Now,
Williams,
do you know how my mom dealt with the situation? She shut the door, she went out, she got in her car, and she drove away.
Right.
I'm putting my clothes back on, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, she's driving over to your parents' house now. We are going to be so friggin' dead.
You're busted.
So we get dressed. We go over. I take her back to her house. My mom's not there. I got back home. My mom never says a word about it to me.
Doesn't speak to you about it.
It's like it never happened.
Right.
It's
great. It's not,
like,
not a real good idea.
Yeah, it's like it never friggin' happened.
But good for you. Yeah, and you know, if you base everything on how you did it when you were younger, you know what I mean? If we all share with our children our own experience, it doesn't work that way.
No. Forget about it. It's another day and age.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do what you think is best, and do the best you can.
Anyway, he's a good boy. We had a good time at dinner with him and his girlfriend. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey.
Don.
Yeah.
So when Bart was younger, did you sit down and have a discussion with him about the whole thing?
Yes. From the time that Bart was little, we discussed with Bart. We never lied to him about sex, about...
Is that your dealer call him?
Yes. What is Buzz? Is Buzz getting a page or something?
Getting a call, yeah. Buzz was beeping during the show.
Excuse the interruption there.
Sorry to intrude.
No, we were always very honest with Bart about everything from the time he was a little kid.
Now, with daughters, I don't think that's my job.
No.
I don't think Daddy has anything to do with talking about the birds and the bees.
I am so with you on that.
I mean, do you not agree? I mean, I think really that is Mommy's job.
I don't know.
I'm not doing it.
I don't know.
I'm not doing it at all. I mean, they're 6 and 4. They're not in the bathroom anymore when I'm, when I'm getting ready. They're out. Daddy has to be alone now. I mean, I'm a big believer in that, you know. So,
you used to let him in there when you were taking a crap?
Well, no. Not dumping. Like, when you're getting ready, you're walking around in your underwear and stuff like that. Now, you know, at that age, it's just the age where it's, I don't think it's any, you know, about 5 years old,
right.
4 years old, it's really not appropriate for kids to be, you know, when the parents are parading around. Do you think I'm a prude?
Yeah.
Well, no.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a daughter seeing her dad walk around in his underpants.
Well, it's just something where I think now is when we start to, make those changes where you don't go parading around in your underwear.
I'm not saying you should come out with your D&B hanging out.
No, I know, but I mean, it's just...
You could have your underpants on and a robe open.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, too. But I mean, when I'm getting ready and I'm going to the bathroom and I'm going in the shower and stuff like that, that's, they're not running around in there anymore.
I'm being perfectly normal here.
No, that I agree.
Please, I'm falling apart. No, give me a little nugget here.
I'm with you.
And the underwear,
kids should not be in the room when you're showering. I agree with
it. And it's not underwear. It's like when I'm getting dressed and things like that.
Gotcha.
You know, so that's the issue. But I don't think that it's the guy. I just know that I won't, when the time comes to have that conversation, I think for daughters, it's probably more appropriate mommy to discuss that.
I think you'll find as your kids get older.
I'll talk to them about boys and to be careful and things like that.
They will probably have the same reaction that my kid has on the occasion when he will see me. Well, first off, he can't stand the fact that if Frida's like running around, if we're going out getting dressed,
mm-hmm.
Frida's got a bra on and her pants on.
Right.
He'll like go, oh, Mom, turn away.
Exactly. That's right.
And recently, I was in the shower,
mm-hmm.
and there was a phone call for me, and he didn't realize I was in the shower, and he came in the room, and he's like, oh, Dad! Oh. But I had the worst one of all time. This is I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. This happened over the vacation. I was on the cam.
Oh, God.
And I was up in our bedroom. And I had the door open.
There you go.
Because it's my bedroom.
Yeah, it's your sanctuary. Right?
Right? And, my wife and I have got this deal now. A lot of married couples have this.
Right.
Even though we have the same bedroom.
Yeah.
And we sleep in the same bed, we have our own bathrooms now.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you and Marcia the same. Because you have your own junk there.
Well, Marcia and Buzz have separate wings of the house.
So.
When necessary.
So, I'm in my bathroom, and I'm sitting there reading the newspaper, taking a dump, and I don't hear him.
Right.
And he comes around the corner, and he goes, oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Rightfully so.
And I said, what are you doing? And he said, you're taking a crap. And no, he couldn't see anything. It was just me sitting on the toilet with my pants around my ankles. And I said, what are you doing up here? And he said, I came up to talk to you. He said, I'm taking a crap. He said, the door wasn't shut. He said, it's my house. It's my bedroom. I don't have to shut the door.
Yeah. Stay away.
Yeah, so I mean, that'll
scare him away.
Scarred him. I'm sure your children will be equally scarred.
Right.
I don't think you have to go out of your way to make sure they don't see you naked.
Well, at this age, it's not a big deal. I mean, that's why we have to say, hey, please leave now, because they're not at that age. They're a few years away from that, too.
Jesus Christ.
It's
Hello.
Weird.
Don and Mike show. Oh, we got a break, Rob?
We really ought to.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Craig.
Hi.
How's it going?
Okay.
How long has your son been dating this girl?
I don't know. A while.
Like a year or?
Nah.
No. And he's 16?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, the minute he walked out the door, he was jumping on top of this girl. If she's willing, he was doing it.
Oh, my
Get
God.
He's dumb.
Hey,
oh, dear.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Guaranteed.
Hello.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay.
What's going on? Listen, I was just telling the guys before, I need a savings
and draw
a second deposit. Sorry.
What?
What were you just saying?
I'm at the bank right now.
Okay, all right. I heard something about a deposit. I got you.
Yeah. I'm going to deposit some money into your kid's fund for hooking up with that chick. No, but seriously,
What are you talking about?
Oh, there he goes.
And he hangs up.
He just bailed out.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Okay.
He wanted to call and talk to the bank person.
That's it.
Toodaloo ass.
Hey, Rob, I'm getting nothing here on machine number one.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. Look at that. Press the button. There it goes.
You just got to hit it about eight times.
There you go. Toe-tapping touch tones, 877-365-3636, 202-432-1067, 877-692-1027. Select the number that works for you.
All right.
Call 100. We're giving away. We finally got our prizes back together.
Yay. Good prizes.
So we got good. We're giving away WWF stuff. Call 100 and we'll start the Elvis show next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter for the debut of Hank's Hot Potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience isn't even supposed to have lunch.
Providing at least one chub a day. Guaranteed. The Don and Mike Show.
How did you look at those pictures of Mike at WNEW.com?
Yeah, that'll take anything away that you have.
Great. And I like the link there. It just says click on Mike's gay headband.
There you go. It's my yellow one.
Call 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. You know you're missing
out on something. Well, did I go to the wrong phone bank?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, am I calling 100?
Yeah, what's your name?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, where are you from?
From New York City.
My friend, you won the WWF Royal Rumble prize pack. WWF Royal Rumble in your home, in demand on Sunday, January 21. Okay?
Sweet.
Enjoy. We like the wrestling. Everybody else, call Comcast and Cox Cable now to order WWF Royal Rumble. Thanks. Hold on a second.
All right.
Tonight, as a matter of fact, let's see, Buzz, you're not going, but you're going to be on a sign.
Right.
That Rob and
right.
Lisa and Johnny are taking. They're going to WWF at the Garden.
Right.
And we have, from last night's WWF, we got a tape of the whole Steve Austin what thing.
Oh,
this
good.
Is great. You're going to love it.
So that you can get an understanding of how he says something. And that
yeah, because I've never really been sure how this works.
Everybody yells, what? So this was from last night's wrestling. Good.
What an incredible night it's been already tonight, live in Madison Square Garden.
What?
Just saying, it's been an incredible.
What?
It's been a great night.
What?
And here tonight.
What?
And Steve, you know, it's gonna just.
What?
It's gonna just get even.
What? Now go ahead.
Well, I was gonna ask you.
What?
See, anytime anybody tries to say anything to Stone Cold, he just says, what?
The seat of intellectualism in
that's,
Manhattan.
That's great. I think it's funny.
I'm going to hold on to every IQ point tonight like it's a life preserver.
Absolutely. That's a, well, now we understand the lofty concept.
What? What?
Wrestling fans, God love them.
That's national. What does it mean, that's national?
What's that?
It says on my screen, that's national. The chant is national. Yeah, right. You're right, Mike. It's not just in New York. It's a national chant.
What do you mean?
All over America.
They do it. They did it at SmackDown a couple of weeks ago.
Did Lisa IM you with that?
Yeah,
or what?
In D.C.
She defends her wrestling, doesn't
she? Yeah,
she
loves her wrestling.
Yeah,
but I noticed it when I watched the SmackDown from the MCI Center in D.C. when Lisa went. That's where.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about tonight at the Garden is where it's actually going to take place. I'm aware of the fact that it's probably going to be telecast around the country.
I like it, though. I like the fact that whenever anybody says
what?
He just says what?
What an incredible night it's been already tonight live. Live in Madison Square Garden.
What?
I was just saying, it's been an incredible.
What?
It's been a great night.
What?
And here tonight.
What?
And Steve, you know, it's gonna just.
What?
It's gonna just get even.
What? Now go ahead.
Well, I was gonna ask you.
What?
I'm going to scream myself hoarse tonight.
There you go. Oh, you're going to scream those whats. Now, when he says it, are they all screaming it too? What?
Yes. They follow his what.
He
what.
Says what, and then they say what, and watch tonight.
Now I've got it.
Watch in the crowd for all of the black t-shirts that say what question mark.
Oh, my God.
That it's like,
which is just a new way of dissing somebody by saying what.
What?
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 What? I have our sign.
What? And the sign tonight, incidentally, is going to say, say Elston 316.
Very good. All right. Very good.
Or since what? Elston is Buzz's real name.
Very good.
So it will be Elston 316, the sign tonight at the Garden for wrestling.
If you're going out, look for it. If you're watching on TV, look for it.
Right. Let me see. Lisa, time for Spotlight on Lisa Herndon. Bring in your Christmas present that you received.
Oh.
And I got a letter that I want to share with everybody. And the Elvis is Dead birthday show will be starting momentarily.
Yeah.
We'll also get reaction from people in Seattle about those idiots at the waiting for Star Wars. Apparently, they did get the lap dance yesterday. We're going to send some listeners down.
We're trying to reach the very busy dancer.
Yeah, the dancer's going to call us on her lunch break. But she did arrive Seattle time at 12:20 yesterday for a 30-minute lap dance.
Ooh.
With those two nerds.
You're very good.
Here now is our wonderful producer, Rummy Herndon.
Is this beach style time?
No, this is not beach style time.
Okay.
This is a Christmas gift that Lisa got from someone who is going to remain nameless.
All right.
What is it there, Rum?
Well, it's from fetussoap.com.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is soap on a rope of a baby fetus.
Oh, my
There's
God.
There's a note. It says, pleasantly scented, miscarriage red, and plenty small enough to qualify as a second trimester soap. Your fetus
that
soap on a rope will provide
thing.
You...
Hold on, it's not done yet.
Your fetus soap on a rope will provide you with hours of shower fun. Just don't cut the cord. How else would you hold on to your precious one?
That is definitely...
And pass it over. Pass the soap over.
A new level of sickness.
That is absolutely the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Who makes that? Well, how can we shut them down?
Well, fetussoap.com makes it.
Wow. What?
And as you can see, Mike, it's like...
Oh,
it's like a little unborn baby.
That is so sick.
It's a soap on a rope that someone gave to Lisa for Christmas. I guess with all the talk we had going a while ago that Lisa was pregnant.
Yeah.
She's opening it up now.
It there is pleasantly scented.
Oh, that is so ill.
I know it is.
That, you know, when you get it out of the thing, it's just...
I know. You see the little face, the little arms and everything on it?
It's just the whole concept is just...
Dastardly, wretched,
evil.
Yeah. Let me see if I can go. Buzz, why don't you go to that website real fast?
I'm there. The first caption is, "It's like the son you never had."
Oh God.
Stupidity disclaimer. No fetus were harmed in the making of this soap. Yeah. No resemblance to living or dead. No responsibility for accidents recurring because of gut-wrenching laughter, headaches, or violent nausea.
Yeah.
Not a representation of a dead fetus, so it's not a representation of a living fetus.
What?
I don't know.
What?
It's just a bar of soap. That's what they say here.
What?
What?
So no mail bombs or death threats, please.
What?
What?
Doesn't bother me.
All right, so
not
that's,
my website.
That's number one on the Lisa Herndon
list. Oh, get that out of here. Take that away.
That's
wow.
Weird. There you go. You can put it over on my side of the console.
And whoever gave it to her is going to go nameless, is that right?
Yes. We'll tell you during the break.
You should put it in the
I think I know
bag.
Already.
You might.
Yeah.
I think you might. All right, I would just hang the fetus.
Somehow that's funny.
Yeah, that is.
Hang the fetus soap on a rope from the light stand above my console.
There we go.
It was dastardly in the gift box, but hanging above the console.
It has
is
a certain
funny.
Comedy aspect.
Yeah,
yes.
It does.
Now listen, it's now 9 a.m. in Seattle. Do they pick the show up directly at 9 a.m.? Do you think? I mean, did they join us in progress?
Probably.
Well, then let me just say to those in Seattle listening to us on KQBZ.
What? What?
We need you to call us at 877-365-3636 from Seattle to get reaction if you went down to the theater. And it's the Cinerama.
Cinemax.
Cinerama Theater.
Cinemax. I have that on the brain.
Those two doofuses are sitting outside waiting for the Star Wars movie that's not going to premiere for five more months. We sent down a whore yesterday to give them a lap dance.
A dancer, Don.
Excuse me. You're right, Mike. A dancer.
Until she's on the show.
And I guess that it happened. Rummy, what time did the dance happen?
It was 12:20 their time.
Okay, so we need
3:20. We were out there.
Anybody in Seattle who actually went down to observe these nerds going into the trailer?
Did both of them get it?
Don't know. We won't know until we talk to someone who was there or talk to the nerds themselves.
All right.
And being as we gave them all of the lap dance, someone in Seattle, if you wouldn't mind, if you're close, go down and bring your cell phone with you and let us talk to these nerds, because now they owe us a free mention on the Today Show.
Yes.
or Good Morning America, whatever show it is that they're on this week.
When they start getting their nerdy TV coverage.
Because they're too dope sitting in front of a movie theater waiting for a movie that doesn't open for another 5 months.
I like the mysticism.
Now, also from the Everybody Loves Lisa file,
yay.
We've received a letter today, and I'm going to call her out by name. Her name is Jessica Carrasas, and she's from Edison, New Jersey. And this is a love letter to Lisa.
Hey, a lesbian love letter.
Right.
Dear Lisa Herndon, I have a serious crush for you. I am a 29-year-old Spanish girl. I find you very sexy. I've been told I look like Linda Carter. I'm studying computer science at Rutgers. I got a real good look at you in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. I really like your physical appearance.
Yes.
I am not a lesbian, but I'd like to spend some quiet time with you. My boyfriend is a loving man, and I would like to experience...
Bring you into our bedroom.
I would like to experience... What a
foreplay. Menage a trois?
Yeah, no, I think foreplay with you. Men are pigs and really don't understand women. I work for Costco and can get you a discount on any product you might need.
Hey!
I slept with my general manager and he now owes me a 50% discount on all merchandise. I have a home in Lima, Peru and would like to invite you to my country.
Lima.
You are a special woman with needs. I'd like to come down to the studio and meet you. Only a woman can understand how I feel. The simple idea of our breasts touching each other turns me on. I would like to invite you for a pajama party. Clothes are optional and in all likelihood not necessary.
How could she say she's not a lesbian?
Again, I don't know. I'm just reading the letter.
Right.
I will call you off the air and talk to you. You're incredibly talented and vastly underpaid. Don doesn't appreciate you, your quick wit. He is intimidated by strong women. I look forward to lunch with you at a Broadway show.
Why do I think this may not be a girl?
Yeah.
I love you, Jessica.
Oh my God.
Wow. Well, Robbie, here's what I'd like you to do.
Yes?
Here's the, see if you can figure out how the hell they spell the last name.
All right.
And call, because we have an address in Edison, New Jersey. Call and see if you can actually find a phone number for any such person.
Very good.
We'll see if she actually exists. And
yeah, we'll find out if she is indeed a she or perhaps a he.
If possible, we can bring the she-male or whatever it is down to
maybe me. Perhaps a beautiful Latina.
And, you know, I am absolutely being overwhelmed by the wonderful aroma from the fetus soap on a robe.
It's pretty pungent.
Pleasantly scented, is it?
It is pleasantly scented. It's not an unpleasant scent, but it's disturbing. Just
very.
You know, it was funny when you first hung it up, and now I'm disturbed by it again as it sits there. And
hi, Mike.
There it is looking
hi,
at me.
Hi, it's me.
God, that's weird.
Fetus soap on a rope.
I mean, it's amazing what people think of, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Look at that. Very strange. And from that website, Buzz, no political point of view at all.
Absolutely none whatsoever. They just think it's funny, apparently.
Now, Donna's drawing on the fetus.
They sell it. They have testimonials.
The fetus soap, I should say.
It's hard to draw on it. We're going to try to give it. Well, there you go. I've given it eyebrows. Well, that's all I can do is give it eyebrows. It's hard to draw on soap with a Sharpie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was going to give it a full facial.
You gave a little demonic look, though, which is interesting.
There you go. There's the fetus. That's soap true. On the soap on the rope. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? It's Paulie C. from Jersey.
Hi, Paulie C.
How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, you got to get that girl from Edison into the studio.
Yes, please.
Yeah, but we got to find out.
Yes, please.
We got to find out if it's a real girl or not.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of time these letters are kind of cranks.
I want to believe. All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Paulie C.
You're welcome.
See you later. Bye-bye. Any luck there, Rob?
Working on it.
I wouldn't mind if you just read the letter again. Buzz, you got charged up with the letter?
I did.
It's kind of that J-Lo quality, isn't it? That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, but look at the quality, though, of the handwriting of the person. Can't. Almost looks like Dear Senator Daschle.
You know, it
please
looks like,
enjoy this anthrax.
It looks like a guy's writing.
It does, now that you mention it, now that I see it. All right, we got a guy in Seattle on the line. Put him on hold on line number three. Here is Johnny from Seattle. Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
Okay, my friend.
It looks like there's only a heavy-set lesbian with the Starbucks out in front of the theater now.
Are you there? You're in front of the theater?
I am now.
And the two guys aren't there?
There are two guys talking to this girl sitting down, but they're all out of line. Should I go take their place?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, the two guys are supposed to be there. Like, I think one of them is supposed to be there
all the time.
Right?
Yeah, go find out if one of those guys is the one. If one of the guys is there,
do we still have their names? Was
no.
A guy like
one was
Henry
Jeff,
Winkler or something like
was
that.
Was Jeff Winky or something like
Tweeter
that?
Tweeter or something.
He's quarterbacking for somebody.
That's Chris Winky.
Chris Winky Wingnut.
Hold on a second, Johnny. John's going to their website now. Okay, who do you see there? Hello? We just lost him. We just lost the number. John's going to go to their website.
It's all the moisture out in Seattle.
And Rob, did you find a phone number?
I doubt this is right. It's the right street and the right last name. Different address, different first name. I'm going to see if it's a relation.
All right, okay. So Rob found a phone number in Edison, New Jersey. Ask for Jessica.
Very good.
And hold on. Excuse me, Rob. There's the website. There they are. It's John... And Jeff Tweeten and John Goth.
Tweeten.
And there's a picture of them. Now, there's not a live feed where you can see what they're doing right now
right.
on the street in Seattle. No. According to that guy, they're not even out there anymore.
Well, that's not right.
Now, that'll piss me off if we got those guys a lap dance. And then
they split.
They gave up on their quest to sit outside for 5 months.
Here we got what we wanted.
Yeah, we got some free sushi. We got right. some stupid disc jockeys calling us, and we got a lap dance. So now we're leaving.
The essence of waiting. Remember, that was his art project.
Here we go. Here's his quote.
Waiting for Star Wars is an art project designed to capture the evolution and journey of one person's saga for a single event. It will be captured by time. Indexed photographs taken every hour, as well as pictures and video of the people we interact with. Well, I can't find that on the website. I can't find it on that website.
So it's a 5 month project.
No answer.
And there's no answer in Edison, New Jersey.
And you know what? It wasn't even in Edison. It was a different area near Edison, the proper street, and a different first name.
But the last name was true?
Proper spelling.
All right, well, maybe we'll find her at a later date.
All right, we'll hold on to the letter. We'll hold on to the
maybe she'll
number.
Contact Lisa.
And if you're out there, Jessica.
Call.
Yes, call.
Yeah, give us a call, Jessica. We'd love to talk to you.
And just let me tell you something, Jessica. Lisa, very interested.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very interested.
Especially
as well.
The part about
touching of breasts.
The breast touching.
What?
Very interested. Lisa was just telling me during the computer screen that she would like to give you a bath with the fetus soap.
Yeah. And also the boyfriend can watch and participate.
She wants to clean your privacy with the fetus soap.
There you go.
On a rope.
Even though it's got magic marker on it now.
Well, it would wash off. Right?
What?
Very disturbing.
What?
Yes, it is.
What?
All right, it is January the 8th, everybody. Yep, and hold on a second. We got another guy from Seattle. Hold on a second. Up, every time I want to start the Elvis show, another guy from Seattle calls.
Like
here we go.
Music.
Let's put Paul on. Hello, Paul. Hi, Don and Mike show.
No, Mike, how's it going?
Okay, my friend.
Hey, you know, the funny thing about these guys waiting for the Star Wars movie is on the local news a couple of nights ago, they're saying that the movie has not even confirmed yet that they will be having Star Wars at their theater.
Oh.
Oh, you mean that?
Oh, that'd be great. So that's pretty sick.
So the theater that these guys are camping out in front of may not even be one of the theaters that is chosen to screen the movie.
I would love that.
That's correct.
That means they get the dumbass award.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, all right.
You know, we're still waiting for somebody from Seattle to call and tell us what the F's going on up there. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mike.
Where are you from, Mike?
San Luis Obispo. They took your show off the air here.
Okay, let me stop just for one brief moment and contemplate how crushed I am at that.
I am.
Okay, well, no, sorry about that. It happens all the time.
Okay, I just wondered, do you know, is anybody planning on going on again?
Hell, I don't even know where San Luis Obispo is.
San Luis
Obispo. California.
Not San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo. Where is it?
San Luis Obispo in Central California.
What?
It's not...
What?
Coast.
What? What?
No, I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
What?
Okay, thank you, though.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Ray Rob, I'm burning out on that, like, right now.
My advice
that's
to
the
you
quickest burn of anything in the world right there.
If you want the show back on in St. Louis Obispo,
St. Louis Obispo.
I heard you.
St. Louis Joe Piscopo.
St. Louis Joe Piscopo. I heard you to camp in front of a theater.
Very good.
For the next 5 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll look into it. You know, it's a Westwood One issue. Who the hell knows? Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Jason. I'm in Seattle, and I got pictures of the stripper yesterday.
Oh, okay, great. Finally, someone
can help. The lovely Jasmine. Wonderful.
So you made it down there. Can you tell us exactly what happened when she arrived?
Yeah, she showed up in a brand spanking new Beamer.
Right.
And she stepped out. She asked who Jeff was and, you know, if he was the guy who was camping for Star Wars. You know, he introduced himself. We got a bunch of pictures of them standing there on the sidewalk. And her looking absolutely freezing in this mini dress. And then they went over to the van. My friend Casey was in the front seat with a video camera, and I was in the other front seat with a camera. And Jeff sat down in the van on some foam, and she did a lap dance to the tune.
How was the quality of the lap dance?
It could have been better, except that the only radio in the van is an AM radio, and so we were listening to the tunes of Radio Disney.
Wow. He was getting his lap dance while listening to Radio Disney.
And the dancer, was she attractive?
She was cute, yeah.
Hey, now listen, the pictures you took, are they digital?
Yes.
Well, then, you know what? I need you to stay on hold, because if you can email them to us, we can put the pictures up on WNAW.com.
Cool, right on.
To go along with the pictures of Mike's gay headband.
There we go.
Right on.
Okay, hey, thanks for going out there. Hold on a second. Now,
right on.
Now. I just had somebody else call in from Seattle on another line saying that those guys are no longer out there. Do you know if that's true?
I was there last night at 2 a.m., and they're there, and somebody should be there.
Do you think the theater maybe got tired of him and decided to kick him out?
I don't think so. There was Jeff told me yesterday that there was a rumor that Vulcan Northwest, the people that own that property, were going to make a move.
Oh.
But as far as I know, they should be there.
That's the stupidest move on the part of the theater that I could ever believe.
Because they're getting all kinds of press.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge press.
And goddamn, we gave them a lap dance.
Gave them a lap dance, and now they kicked them out?
All right, we'll check. Hold on a second. We need to get those photos from you. Thank you, my friend. Hold on.
Got it.
Thank you very much. Let's go to, what is this? Dave. Go to Dave. Put him on hold. Line three. I don't understand the phone system. Dave?
Yeah.
Where are you standing?
I'm at the Arundel Mills Mall.
Yeah?
Out in Anarola County. I'm going to stand here waiting for the opening of KPAX 2.
Okay, all right. Okay. Gotta wait to get out of here.
Okay, Pat. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. That'll be Mike's movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, who's this? Hello, DA.
Hey, DA, what's your name, sir?
You're on the air. Oh, God damn it. Hello.
Now silence.
What?
What?
What do you want?
Now he speaks.
Oh, my God, people are idiots.
Yes.
You dumbass. Hello.
Speak.
Hey, Dingleberry, Wingnut.
Wingnut.
Hello.
Ass.
Winky.
Guy, goodbye. Whatever. Whatever. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hey, hi.
Jesus, come on.
Hello.
Marty.
Pardon me?
This is Marty.
Yes, Marty.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Hey. Oh, God.
How you guys doing?
How you doing, Marty? How's that job security?
Well, you bet your tail I'm going to come back next year.
All right, thank you.
Comment.
All right, thank you, Marty. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
What is going on? What really? What, we're in a little time warp right now. We're in a little vapor lot.
There could be a problem with the telephones. I mean, I know I'm calling everybody a dumbass here, but hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Gladys Kravitz.
No!
Jesus Christ.
No, no.
You know what? Honest to God, you call regularly. How come you didn't know you were on the air, damn it?
I can hear you guys.
Huh?
What?
I can hardly hear you guys, but I can still hear you.
Oh.
I can hardly hear you guys, but I can still hear you.
Well, I didn't get that funny noise before I go on the air that I know.
Oh, Gladys. Huh. What the hell do you want?
Worst timing in the world.
Hello, Gladys.
Guys, I didn't call you in November. I didn't call you in December.
Yeah, but you call all the time, Gladys, and then we're having trouble. Now, see, there you go. Talk when we're talking. That's always what you do best. But you call in, and we can't. We're having trouble with the phones. You're a regular caller, and then you cramp up on us, too.
I don't get you guys live. So I call and I ask either Lisa or Joe, can I talk? And they put me on hold.
Okay. All right, well, Gladys, listen, for those who don't know,
June.
This woman lives in Kansas.
Yes.
She is maybe our biggest fan in Kansas. She listens to the show every day. God bless her.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, she's the most annoying woman on the face of the earth.
She does have a tendency to wait months to call, and when she calls, it's at a very bad time.
She does love to gobble the gonads, though. She does love to gobble gonads.
Yes, dryness, too.
And she has a problem with feminine dryness.
Caught us at a real bad time, Gladys.
Well, I usually don't. I always.
You do.
Yes, you always do.
It's not been a bad time.
And as a matter of fact, just to let everybody know, she's such a pain in the ass that we have to put her on a restriction.
Right.
That she can only call the show once a month, because if we let her, she would call the show three or four times a day.
All right, now, Gladys, we've been very mean to you now. Is there something you have to say?
No, I just wanted to say Happy New Year's to you guys. And
Happy New Year.
Year. The
Not
new
Happy
year.
New Year's.
And I sent you a nice card, Mike.
For what?
Just
for your breakdown.
Is it about my is it about my drugs?
Hey, we've all been there, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about?
It's just a little make you laugh card, you know.
Is it about my drugs? He asked again a third time.
Well, no, not just the whole thing.
I bet it's a cute card.
It is cute.
Thank you, Gladys. I appreciate it.
How's baby Rob? How's baby Julia?
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, isn't it about time you sent us a new glamour shot?
Gladys Potter, the gonad goblin.
28 pounds.
Pardon me?
Wow.
I've lost 28 pounds.
Have you really?
I have.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Send us a picture.
Nude. Well, I will.
She's lost 28 pounds.
Can you send us a nude?
I can't. That'd be kind of scary.
No, tasteful news.
Just of your genitals.
A glamour shot.
Just a glamour shot of your...
Never shots around anymore.
A glamour shot of your,
Your privacy.
Your privacy.
With a boa.
All done up and made up.
All right, goodbye. Gladys, goodbye. We will talk to you next on February 8th.
Okay, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Right. Okay, goodbye.
I love you guys.
Love you, Gladys.
Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know what's amazing?
What?
All the 28 pounds she lost is 28 pounds of hearing skills.
Gladys Potter, the gonad gobbler.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I guess we're going to have to go through this break before we find out what's happening in Seattle.
Yes.
If those two doofuses are, in fact, still in front of the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
I sure would like to know. I'd like to get something out of the fact that we got him a lap dance yesterday.
With the pictures. I hope the guy gets the pictures we were supposed to see this week.
Two? That's ponderous. That's effing ponderous.
I'm still having trouble concentrating with that fetus soap hanging in front of your face.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the wrestling tonight. I was going to make a sign for Mike.
What's it going to say, my friend?
It's going to be your homo earmuffs and your drug. It's going to be gay pack.
Gay pack.
Gay pack.
Gay pack.
Thank you. Thank you. Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Ass.
What?
Good day to you, sir. Listen, we are here to celebrate the birth of Elvis Aaron Presley.
Yeah, it's a special show.
And also Dave Thomas, the dead Dave Thomas, will be on the show.
Ass.
hold on. You know, I keep saying we got to go to break, but you got another guy from Seattle? All right, put that guy on hold. Let's talk to J.D. J.D., you're in Seattle, right?
Yes, sir.
Hi, and what's the deal with those guys in the movie theater?
I don't know about those two DAs. They're not out in front of the line right now.
Oh, no.
There's no Beamer
out
there
either.
Out
in front of the line? There's not a line.
It's just the way we understood it, it's just two guys who are camping out in front of the movie theater.
Yeah, they're just two guys out there, and there's a sign there, it says line for Star Wars.
Okay, well then that would mean that they are there. If there are two guys there, and there's a sign that says line for Star Wars, those would be our guys.
But those are your guys, but they're not there.
You just said they were. Which is it?
No, sir, I said they were not there.
Sir!
But is there a sign that says line for Star Wars?
Yeah, they made themselves a sign. It says line for Star Wars.
Are there any lawn chairs or anything there that they would be sitting on?
There's stuff there. Their lawn chairs are there, but there's no guys there.
Okay, are you looking at the theater right now?
I just passed it about 30 seconds ago.
Now, that's interesting that they either have been vacated or both of them are cheating.
Or maybe they both are on a bathroom break.
Well, that shouldn't happen.
Maybe they kicked out, like those rumors were saying.
We have to find out. Maybe we could call the theater.
All right. Maybe we will. God damn, it's 9 o'clock in the morning in Seattle, though.
Yeah. Yes, I guess they're not there. Charlie Stossel gets there at about 8.
Hey, listen, why don't you do us a favor? Could you go to the theater if you're 30 seconds away?
I could probably do that.
Yeah, make a U-turn.
It won't happen.
Make a U-turn and drive back in front of the theater.
Well, I'll try. There's a lot of traffic out here.
Well, there's...
And that way, where's the theater? Just in downtown Seattle?
Yeah, it's on the corner of 4th and I think Yesler, one of those streets.
So you're close to it there right now?
I'm going to try to turn around and get back to it, but...
Okay, I'm going to leave you on hold, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
We got the right man on the case.
Hold on, please. That's J.D. from Seattle. Find out what's happening with those boys. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Men lie, we live lies. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Got a pornography stash in the crib. Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by. And when we hide porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator, under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide some porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. You go down 2 flights and stairs into your porno cellar. Janet Jack me, yes. Gina Jameson, that's right.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
They have straight.
Call as you are.
That's the national
number. Why does this one make me laugh?
Because it's Elvis singing Nirvana.
Right.
877-365-3636, national number. D.C. 202-432-1067. New York 877-365-3636.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, now, the Elvis Show, I promise, is going to start in just a moment.
Don't you have a whole CD with those Elvis songs singing contemporary artists?
I do, and we'll get to that.
Not really Elvis, of course.
Bob from Seattle writes, and I'm going to lead into on the instant feedback. A local hotel lets them use their facilities, so that's where the Star Wars dummies might be. They were just interviewed on local radio. They're still there. In the interview, they said they didn't tip the stripper because they didn't know the etiquette involved with that. You'll be pleased to know they mentioned your names on the other radio show.
Well, that's a start.
And joining us now from Seattle is one of the Star Wars guys still waiting in line. Here is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for the stripper, guys.
You are very welcome. Now, Jeff, was it a decent lap dance?
It was a great lap dance.
The lady was sufficiently attractive.
You got some pictures.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Now we had a listener out there with a we
art
had
sake.
You know what?
We had to document it for art's sake.
Sure. Yeah, yes, for the project.
Now, are you going to put those pictures on your website?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And we have a listener who was taking pictures who is also going to send them to us, and we're going to put them up on WNEW.com for everybody to see. Can you tell me how far did she go with the lap dance?
She was rubbing her head in my crotch.
Ah!
And she put her butt in my face and all the good things that you know, a good lap dance entails.
Have you ever had a lap dance before?
I've had a few lap dances before, but... Nothing like that.
Well, okay, glad to hear that worked out. Jeff, we were getting all kinds of reports this morning from Seattle that you guys were not there. Where have you been?
I've been here the entire time. John has been here the entire time. I don't know where people are getting this rumor that we're not here.
Now, when you did they said you did an interview with another radio station today?
Yeah, the Pat Cashman Show.
And you mentioned our names on that show?
Yes, I did.
Ah, very nice.
Excellent.
Good man.
And that we thank you for. However,
tomorrow, you guys, tomorrow, I believe tomorrow is the Today Show, so I'm going to do my damnedest to get you guys on that one.
No, listen.
Like
here's,
I said.
Now, listen. What you do is right up front, as soon as they come to you, say, whoever it is, first thing, I want to say hi to Don and Mike.
Right. Very good.
That's all we ask.
And, okay. You know, let me just tell you, if you manage to do that, you know, if it's a good enough mention and we really get spotlighted, we might find it in our hearts to get you another lap dance somewhere down the road.
Or maybe even buy you a hooker. I mean, really, we're on in Las Vegas and we're on in Reno. We'll get you laid.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll all be right. Big fun inside the van.
Any idea what time the Today Show is going to have you on tomorrow?
I think we're doing the 8 o'clock spot.
Yeah, that's right, because the first hour is news and the second
right.
hour is the filler stuff.
Sure,
all right.
And they got to get them in before the senior citizens.
Well,
they're waking us up at like 4 o'clock.
Right.
To get set.
Oh, see, you're already getting the pneumonia.
Oh, my. Oh. Pneumonia. Well, then, Jeff, listen, let me just coach you on this a little bit. When they come to you, as soon as they come to you and they say, there are these two guys in Seattle waiting in line, the first thing you say is, thanks, it's great being on the show. Want to say hi to our radio friends, Don and Mike.
Okay.
That's what you do. You just get it out of the way at the beginning. They will blow right by it.
Right.
They won't pay attention to it. And then you just knock yourself crazy.
Hey, Jeff, how is the bronchitis?
It's going well.
Now,
it seems like I just got it a couple days ago, but...
Oh, God.
Did it coincide with you, like, sleeping outside?
A little bit. I was a little bit sick before I got here, so.
Where did you sleep last night, Jeff?
Fox Communication has actually given us a van, and I snuck in there for a quick cat nap for 3 hours before some protesters came by, and John had to call me out of the van and get me out of my nice
protesters?
Van to sleep outside with him.
Were they drunken protesters?
No, some jackass, you know, sent them down here, so.
Oh, you mean, do you mean the real jackass show, or do you just mean some stupid radio show?
Some stupid radio show isn't funny.
Oh, they said protesters. God damn. You know, why can't they just let these guys have their fun?
Absolutely. Right. Why can't we all get along?
Why can't everybody treat these guys as well as we've treated
them? But you know, I will tell you something, Jeff. Based on our phone calls yesterday, there is a segment of people out there that, for some reason, they feel hostility towards you, and I guess you got a little of that last night.
Yeah, well, you know, it's to be expected. People, you know, don't like it, don't understand it.
Neither do we.
What?
No, go ahead.
No, we like it. We just don't understand.
That's right. We don't understand it, but we like it. Yeah.
Well, that's all. You know, all I'm asking for is the people just to, if you don't like it, don't say anything and just say I don't get it and. You know, quit sending death threats saying, you guys are crazy, I want to kill you. Because to me, murder is, you know, the top form of craziness.
That's
so
wrong.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, let me just say this to anybody who hates these guys. Go ahead and hate them because they're nerds and they're in line. But I'll tell you this, they're no fags. These guys, they love the poontang.
They like the lap dances. You can't fault them for that.
Like
that's right.
Listen, so I think we all have that in common with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want a woman's head in their crotch or have a woman's butt in their face?
Very exciting.
All right, well, listen, Jeff, best of luck to you. Hold on. Let me put you on with Lisa so we can get a phone number to talk with you tomorrow so we don't have to worry about this crap of begging to get you on the air. And don't forget, first thing tomorrow on the Today Show, hi to my friends Don and Mike, and then the world is your oyster.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, hold on.
A friend called me, and I just wanted to dispel that because I heard you guys were kind of ticked at.
No,
you guys sent me the stripper down here, and then I just took off. That's not true.
Okay, all right. Thanks for checking in. Hold on there, Jeff. Hold on.
Okay.
Good luck. Lisa, make sure you get his number. And
talking to a guy with Tourette's sometimes.
And make sure that you school him on that Today Show thing tomorrow.
Yeah, because he strikes me as a slightly moldable personality. He's been outside too long.
That it's got to be as soon as they come to him, as soon as Ann Curry, and you know it'll
you
be...
You hear that cough, that death rattle that he was giving us a minute ago?
You know it'll be an Ann Curry interview.
Oh, yeah.
They won't have Matt or Katie do it.
I don't think so.
It's got to be as soon as Ann Curry, or it might even be Big Fat Al Roker who does the interview. But whoever it is, whoever does it,
right.
The first thing the guy has to say is, and I want to say hi to my radio buddies, Don and Mike.
Sure, absolutely.
Beautiful. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock on the Today Show.
Katie might come in and see that's on the docket to take the day off.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, what's up, boys?
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to say that I heard these guys on another show, and they were saying that they want to go for some kind of rec record or something for staying outside the longest. But is it really technically staying outside if you're sleeping in a van?
I would say no.
Even for a couple hours? I mean, he should be in there giving that AIDS cloth to his friend in the tent.
Only if that van's down by the river. Only if the van is down by the river, then it counts.
Bye-bye. In a van down by the river?
Yeah, 3 hours on a mattress, that's not really roughing it.
Well, hello. He said they take turns holding your place in line.
All right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
This is Mike Basha from the Bedford Fire Department. How you doing?
Oh, you're one of the firemen we're bowling against tomorrow night, right?
Yes, sir. I am probably the worst bowler in the world. Oh. So if I bowl with you guys, you actually might have a chance.
That's fantastic. Very exciting. What do you have in store for us up in Bedford?
Well, what I'm going to do once I get off the phone with you guys, I'm going to head up to one of the local food distributors, going to get you guys some shrimp, going to get you guys some chicken wings, mozzarella sticks, and some sweet and sour, not mushrooms, meatballs.
Oh,
and another word that started with an M. Sometimes I get confused.
Going
to go over to one of the local beer distributors, pick you guys up some Amstel Light and some Heineken.
Buzz needs some weed.
Some sort of a rule that when quote-unquote outsiders are in the building, we're not allowed to serve liquor.
Right.
I don't know about that.
We'll find a way around that.
Yeah.
Listen, I know you're a fireman, which means that you're kind of like sworn to uphold the law, but can you find Buzz some pot?
I won't really be able to help you with that, but maybe we could talk about that later.
Right.
Okay.
How about, all right, if you can't find him any weed, how about some hats? Do you have any hats or T-shirts or anything like that?
I'm sure we could come up with some hats.
Beautiful. Now, listen, here's the important thing, Mike. Tomorrow night when we come to your bowling alley, and these guys have a bowling alley in the firehouse.
We have four lanes.
That's a pretty cushy gig to have a bowling alley right in the firehouse.
Now, if we get there and all of a sudden you guys get the alarm and you have to slide down the pole and put on your firefighter stuff, what are the odds that we could ride with you?
That's something we'd have to talk about with the chief. I'm sure that there's something that we could work out where you guys could come to the
chief
incident,
Wiggum.
Just probably not on a piece of fire apparatus.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay, all right.
From an insurance perspective, that would be pure suicide for us.
Yeah.
I could just see it in the papers. Don and Mike show killed by volunteer firefighters.
Because I don't know who it was, which dumbass celebrity it was. It might have been George Clooney, but whichever one it was I saw talking about, they were down by Ground Zero.
Right.
Visiting firefighters, and all of a sudden they got a call and they said, hey, Clooney, you know, throw on the jacket and jump on the truck and let's go.
Great.
So maybe he was making that up.
No, yeah. The city's a little bit different. Before 9/11, I have lots of friends that would do what are called ride-alongs. You basically put on some gear and you ride along with them. You don't go anywhere near what they're doing, but you ride on the truck, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot less prevalent now because captains, lieutenants, and chief officers are looking for things like that because the last thing they need is a lawsuit now.
Right.
But it's something that's done a lot more in the city. Up here where we have people that are above us, commissioners as such, that are kind of sticklers for the rules, at least in my department, that would be somewhat difficult to do. But I'm sure we could work something out where you guys could experience at least a little bit of it.
Is this bowling alley? Is this like a fully functional alley, like with the electronic pins and stuff?
Oh, everything, yeah.
I mean, electronic, scoring and all that stuff?
No electronic scoring. This bowling alley is probably, what, like 40 years old?
Wow. Okay, cool.
We can manage.
Well, listen, Mike, we'll see you tomorrow night. We're going to be in Bedford, New York, taking on the Bedford Fire Department.
Yes.
And because it's a real fire department, no spectators, please, but we're going to bring a tape recorder with us, and we'll have taped evidence of the long-awaited return of your hot gutter ball action.
Great.
Mike, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You guys rule.
Thank you for inviting us.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Now, that's a thrill. That's a thrill, bowling against some firefighters.
Yeah, I hope we get to wear a hat.
The real heroes.
Great guy. I might bowl with, like, the fireman's hat on.
I'll tell you that next week we are bowling against Mr. 40 and his posse.
All right!
And, what the hell, I'm gonna give it away, even if you haven't heard from the publicist yet, Lisa. In 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure we're bowling against the stars from One Life to Live.
Very exciting.
The soap opera.
That is tremendously exciting.
That'll be at Bowlmore in New York. And
I want to bowl against Nora.
And next week, when we bowl against Mr. 40, we'll be at Strike Lanes in Bethesda. That is the Bowlmore equivalent. That's the franchise of Bowlmore in the D.C. Metro.
Very cool.
So we'll see you guys there. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Good morning, Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
This is Video Joe from Seattle.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I was calling. Hopefully, you guys can hook me up with the guy that got videotape of the morons out in front of the theater.
Why is that?
So I could actually post it on the internet for you guys, so your listeners can check that out.
I think we've got. I think we've already got that that happening. I think the guy was in touch with John to get send the digital pictures and also the video.
Excellent. Oh, really? Yeah. Got somebody take care of that already?
Yeah, we do. Thank you, though.
All right. Well, F you.
F you, sir.
That was great. It was so pleasant. Okay, well, F you then.
F you, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi. Turn down your radio, please, DA. Turn it down.
All right.
Thank you.
How you guys doing?
Okay.
I'm a first-time caller.
Shocker.
Where's the fire department in Bedford? I was going to bring but some pot.
Okay, yeah, no, shocker with that, oh, no, too.
Anyway, just kidding.
Hold on. Hold on. Thank you.
Well, we'll give you the address and announce it on the air.
Okay. Listen, I think we got all the... I know we got a break, but we're going to take the oath first, Robbie.
Okay. Good.
We're going to take the oath here.
This is the Elvis Presley oath.
Now, keep in mind that this is a truncated Elvis show. This was never meant to be the full-blown...
Right.
...four-hour all-Elvis, all-the-time show.
Not full-blown.
No. Not like full-blown AIDS.
That's exactly right.
Today we're going to do a couple of breaks with some of the best of Elvis. Really, we devote the entire show to the Elvis Death Day.
Hey.
That's the Elvis show that we love. We're going to give you at least a couple of breaks with some of the best of Elvis today.
The best of Elvis Aaron Presley.
We've got another dead guy to talk to today as well on the show from heaven, Dave Thomas, the Wendy's guy.
Yeah, great.
So let's start the Elvis birthday show by taking the TCB oath. Written by Elvis in 1971 on a plane trip from Los Angeles to Memphis.
Yeah, he put a lot of time into it, right?
This is not a lie. Elvis actually wrote this on a napkin and insisted that all of his cronies take this oath. So I'm going to ask you, my cronies, and all of you folks listening.
Yes, please... you can do this at home, correct?
Yes, everybody around America, please repeat with me. More self-respect.
More self-respect.
More respect for fellow man.
More respect for fellow man.
Respect for fellow students and instructors.
Respect for fellow students and instructors.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Respect for body conditioning.
Respect for body conditioning.
Respect. Oops. What did I do there? Hold on. Hold on a second.
Respect, man.
Drive. Respect for mental conditioning.
Respect for mental conditioning, man.
Meditation for calming.
Meditation, Jack. Calming.
And stilling of the mind and body.
Stilling of the mind and body, man.
Sharpen your skills.
What?
Sharpen your skills. Increase mental awareness.
What? Increase mental awareness.
For all those who might choose a new outlook and personal philosophy.
For all those who might choose another outlook or personal philosophy.
Freedom from constipation.
Freedom from constipation.
TCB technique.
TCB technique.
All techniques into one.
All techniques into one.
Elvis Presley, eighth.
Elvis Presley, eighth.
Applying all techniques into one.
Applying all techniques into one, Jack.
All right, now, Elvis writing eighth did not mean he fancied any resemblance between himself and, like, King Henry VIII, the eighth I am.
Right.
It was because Elvis allegedly had the eighth-degree black belt.
Allegedly.
Okay.
And we brought him back from the dead today, too.
So that is the Elvis TCB oath that he made all the guys at the Memphis Mafia take. Today, Elvis would have been 67.
Wow.
And I'm sure all the oldie stations are really doing, yeah, like, the serious tributes to Elvis.
Big wheels keep on turning.
Not us.
The best album, I swear to God.
I think that today, to celebrate Elvis's birthday, we're going to stick with one topic. Not the food. Not the food.
Right.
Not the drugs.
Right.
Today, in celebration of Elvis's birthday, Elvis's crazy sex life.
Elvis had a very abnormal sex life, and you're going to hear all about it after we listen to Elvis singing Sweet Home Alabama.
We have stories about how Elvis was sexually retarded.
Right.
Wow. We have the great Oma Peter story.
Yes.
And don't forget Cutting Loose.
And yeah. Elvis used to love cutting loose in a girl's hair.
Elvis had a lot of really weird, kinky little sexual habits.
He did, so it is Elvis's birthday. And we will start the Elvis tribute show as only we can. Here I come. Right, after this, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And he looked at me and he says, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
Hey, Rob, come here and feel this. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, I want to solicit for tomorrow's episode, live with guys and girls in the studio, it's the return of Slap Off.
All right.
Wow. Slap Off.
I bet you wonder how I knew.
Slap Off 2002. Let me just say, wilder and more violent than ever.
Wow.
For guys and girls, if you're a guy, you're going to be put in a battle of attrition with another guy,
right,
slapping each other in the face until one of you gives.
Okay.
Girls, going to be slapping your asses.
Ah, wonderful.
Girl ass on ass slapping, guys using the face.
Very exciting.
And we're going to be paying cash. So if you're interested, call Lisa or just show up tomorrow, but I'm putting out the warning right now.
Clothed or unclothed?
Yes.
Yeah, very
tomorrow,
good.
The slap off for cash.
Right.
For guys and for girls. If you want to play, we're at NEW this week, so we're at 57th and 7th. Just look for the gigantic billboard outside that says, Don and Mike work here.
Yeah.
That's how you'll find us.
Absolutely.
You see the Duane Reade and you see the Hard Rock Cafe. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see this big, gigantic, yeah. I mean, as big as the Goodyear blimp sign says, Don and Mike work here.
Neon. And then the caricatures of us hanging out of the building.
Impossible to miss.
Chasing lights.
Tomorrow, the slap off. If you want to play, call Lisa and set it up in advance at 877-365-3636 or 877-692-1027.
All right.
What?
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 What an incredible night it's been already tonight live in Madison Square Garden.
What?
What?
I was just saying, it's been an incredible
night. What?
It's been a great night.
What?
What?
I'm here tonight.
What?
What?
And Steve, you know, it's going to just...
What?
What?
It's going to just get even...
What?
What?
No, go ahead. Well, I was going to ask you...
What?
What? Sounds like he has a little trouble talking there, too.
You know what? I want you guys... Would you guys get me a what shirt tonight?
Yeah.
When you go to wrestling?
Sure.
What?
Tonight, Lisa, Rob, Johnny, and some other folks are going to WWF. Get me a what shirt. We'll have a report on that on tomorrow's episode.
Good.
Want to thank Amtrak for bringing everybody up for the show.
Yeah. Very good.
Amtrak, great railroad. The Amtrak promise, satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-800-USA-RAIL to make a reservation. Like I said, slap off tomorrow, plus the WWF recap. We're bowling tomorrow night against the firefighters. And those nerds from Seattle going on the Today Show, hopefully giving us our props tomorrow.
I sure hope he remembers.
With Katie Couric.
Now,
let's get right to the Elvis birthday show. I told you that today's show would be focusing on Elvis's sex life.
Right.
Now, we got lots of stuff that we could talk about when it comes to Elvis's sex life.
Oh, there's so much. I mean, between, his hidden cameras and his propensity for cotton panties.
Now, we can talk about Elvis's faggy bedroom. We can talk about Elvis's dirty home movies. We can talk about Elvis's bedroom and the hidden cameras in his bedroom.
I always liked that one.
We can talk about how Elvis was sexually retarded.
Yes.
Or we can go right to the mother.
Yeah, go to mom.
The mother of, the mother of all Elvis stories, which does involve his mom.
Yeah, that's the one with the cotton panties, right?
Yes,
that explains it all.
The secret sex life of Elvis.
I think it's important to go to this one because it really does set the table for Elvis's habits in the future.
It's been so long. I mean, I think on the Elvis birthday, the Elvis Death Day show, we did an awful lot of Elvis stuff involving food.
Yeah, we focused on
food. And the monkey.
Yeah, and right. Scatter the monkey. And remember what Elvis wanted, a snack. He would have, was it 8 scoops of ice cream?
2 dozen cookies and 8 scoops of ice cream, and then energy would surge throughout his body.
Of course. So today, for the Elvis birthday show, we're going to focus on the sex life of Elvis Presley.
No cough syrup?
No.
There's so much. He keeps on giving.
That's another great one.
It's my favorite.
That Elvis would bring, like, teenage girls back to his hotel, and he would have codeine cough syrup, and he would get out champagne glasses.
And they'd drink it like it was a beverage. Wow.
They would drink cough syrup and get effed up on cough syrup.
Hey.
Okay, let's see. It's been 2 decades since the death of Elvis Presley. Revelations about his extraordinary private life has nourished more than 300 books and at least 100 times the number of magazine articles. According to Elvis's bodyguards, friends, and lovers, the sex life of Elvis Presley can best be described as unenviable.
I like that. It's a good word.
August 16th, 1977, Elvis's life ebbed away as he laid on the bathroom floor in his beloved Graceland mansion. With 14 drugs in his body and his gold pajama bottoms around his ankles, the chronically constipated singer had suffered massive heart failure and fallen off his toilet.
I'm caught in a trap.
Once in the opinion of millions, the most handsome man in the world, he had long since lost his looks to drugs, the passage of years, and his behemoth eating sprees.
Plus sex.
Now there on the floor in his last moments, he struggled under his own weight. 300 pounds hung on a 5'11 frame. He managed to crawl several feet, collapsing on the red shag carpeting and vomiting where he lay. In a matter of minutes, the king was dead at 42.
I'm dead, Jack.
The woman who found him, 20-year-old Ginger Alden, a Memphis beauty contest winner, had the illustrious title of Miss Mid-South and Miss Traffic Safety, didn't know what to think. Elvis's drug protocol was so intense and stultifying that often he would get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and would never make it back to bed.
I'm tired.
Friends would find him sprawled on the floor, zonked out, and cursing his own private hemisphere.
Oh, man, this sucks.
So when Elvis was slumped on the floor in front of his toilet, at first, Ginger thought nothing was out of the ordinary.
I'm all right, Ginger.
When she first saw him, Elvis was slumped on his left side, his knees drawn up, his ass exposed, hands under face, almost in a praying position.
Please, please be the God.
His face was partially buried in the carpet.
Oh, man.
Blood caking his nostrils.
Bleed death, man.
A book he'd been reading flung nearby.
Panties, man.
Ginger called to him and got no reply.
Sure.
She touched his arm. It was cold. Alarmed, she turned his head and got her first look at his swollen, distorted figures. Ginger gasped. The tongue from which so many great songs had once come trippingly was lolling out of his mouth. Yeah. Even more shocking, discoloration had set in from the waist up. Elvis's skin, once a fetching olive in hue, was now purple black.
Ooh.
An EMS worker summoned to the familiar address believed he was trying to resuscitate an African American. Was later stunned to learn that the dead man was, in fact, Elvis Presley.
That's Elvis, Jack?
No way, Jack.
Hello, Dad. This is Elvis.
Ooh.
Ginger has shared Elvis's bed that night, a rarity. She hated sleeping over, preparing to sneak home after Elvis took his medication. Why?
He smells like BM.
Because for years, Elvis Presley couldn't satisfy a woman.
Yeah. Wow.
The secret he feared most getting out, even more than his drug use,
my Paxil, man,
was that the sexiest man alive was impotent, receiving regular testosterone shots from Dr. Nick.
Okay. Dr. Nick, give me a shot, man. Sure. I got a hole in my foot as big as a quarter.
Still, Elvis had desires. Looking was one thing, however, and doing was another.
Oh, man, I love to look.
The long-concealed truth is that Elvis had never really enjoyed intercourse. He liked foreplay and everything that led up to intercourse, kissing, hugging, and above all, baby talk.
Baby talk, babe.
The special language he shared with his mother, Gladys.
City train.
But not coitus itself. Elvis, a country boy, was uncircumcised.
I just don't like coitus, Jack.
And complained to his cronies that intercourse abraded his foreskin.
Not coitus, man. I tell you, man, it's uncomfortable, Jack, with my fire hose.
What then was the sex life of the king of rock and roll?
What was it, man?
What motivated his suggestive movements and impassioned singing? To understand that, it's important to go back to Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yeah, babe.
Jack.
Let me see.
Tupelo's where I was raised, man.
That's where the psychological die was cast.
I'll bet.
When Elvis's dad, Vernon, went to prison for forging a check, 4-year-old Elvis assumed a new position as, bizarrely, head of the household.
I'm head of the household. Head of the household.
I'm 4 years old, man. I'm head of the household.
Yeah, babe.
in fact, protecting women. Gladys, whom he began calling his baby.
Yeah, Gladys is my baby, Jack.
That's his mom. And Vernon, when he returned after 8 months. So after Vernon was in jail for 8 months,
right.
Elvis, at 4 years old, was the head of the family.
Head of the family, Jack. Makes cotton sense. Panties.
Later in life, Elvis's strongest turn-on, other than seeing two women simulate lovemaking, was watching girls wrestle in white cotton panties.
Oh, you're speaking my language, Jack.
This fetish was rooted at an early experience.
Pull me up off the carpet.
Here's Billy Smith. Speaking
Bill Smith.
Billy Smith,
hey,
Elvis's first cousin. When Elvis was four or five, my mama and Aunt Cletus were dancing together to some music. They were up on a trunk, waving their skirts around so that they were flying up. Elvis was in the room. Now, Elvis is four or five at this time.
I'm four or five, but I'm interested in watching them dance, Jack.
The more they danced, the more excited he got.
Oh, man.
He grabbed my mama by the leg and said, "Oh, my Peter."
Oh, my Peter.
Well, Gladys went wild.
Hey, Jack.
She came up and yelled, "You quit that damn dancing." She pointed at Elvis and said, "Look what you're doing to him." When my mama told me that, I like to die.
A bunch of hillbillies.
Oh, my Peter.
Oh, my Peter, Jack.
Little four-year-old Elvis. Oh, my Peter.
Pull me out of this carpet.
Elvis spent his childhood mostly in the company of women, in part because Gladys, been racked by the death of Elvis's twin brother, Jesse, overprotected her surviving son, and because the men on both sides of the family tended to leave the responsibility to everything to their wives.
Man, I miss Jesse Presley.
From the earliest age, almost all of Elvis's friends were girls, simply because he liked women and related to women more than he did men.
Did I mention I'm uncircumcised? Yes.
At the senior prom, the 18-year-old Elvis escorted a girl named Regis Wilson, who was 14. His most serious love interest during those years, however, was Dixie Locke.
Dixie Locke,
who was also 3 years younger than Elvis.
I want to pick your lock.
Somehow, 14-year-old girls had a magic spell on Elvis.
Oh, man.
Elvis himself stopped growing emotionally and psychologically at age 18.
I am done. I have finished my maturing.
In 1956, at 21, when he got his first taste of national fame, he began inviting three 14-year-old girls, Heidi, Gloria, and Frances, who hung out in front of the Presley house on Memphis's Audubon Drive, to visit his girlish bedroom.
Where's Dixie Locke? Describe my girlish bedroom, please.
Elvis's bedroom was decorated with a pink dust ruffle.
Yes.
A pink and white flowered bedspread.
Gladys decorated
a it. A dark pink telephone and pink stuffed animal.
That's weird.
The 14-year-old girls would insist that nothing sexual ever happened during these visits.
Hey, get those girls down at the gate and bring them up to see my princess phone.
Which would last until the wee hours. Elvis, who was already wearing eyeshadow and mascara off stage and on.
How do you like my eye makeup?
Often wore a black see-through lace shirt.
Maybelline!
Sort of a male negligee.
Nice.
Elvis would wash and then set the girls' hair, put makeup on them, allow them to do the same to him.
Estee Lauder.
Start pillow fights, tickle the girls, and then send them home at 5 in the morning.
Oh, God. Man.
Elvis always said, 14 or 16 will get you 20. Meaning, of course, that having sex with 14 or 16-year-old girls will get you 20 years in jail.
I'm Max Factor.
But he was the worst, says Lamar Fike.
Oh, Fike.
Member of the Memphis Mafia. He got in the middle of everything.
Where's my color stick?
From what I heard, he had three or four girls in his room at once from the Louisiana hayride days. One time he told his daddy he had six girls in his room.
Not Dixie Locke.
He used to come up with ideas that would make me shake my head. And here we go. Now, this is a great Elvis story right here. The great, great moment.
Where's my rouge?
Lamar Fike says...
Fike.
Elvis got a big kick when he cut loose in a girl's hair.
Oh.
They would J-O him, and he loved it.
Oh, man, right in the hair. Don't mess up the mascara.
Let me cut loose in your hair.
That's good fun. That's good fun in your hair.
Oh, my Peter.
Elvis, little Elvis Moose. Elvis Stalin Moose.
Let me see. Elvis had different codes of behavior for different girls. His regular girlfriend,
better than that bloody coitus,
pre-army was Anita Wood, said to be said to be Elvis's true love. Elvis's family assumed he would marry her, but he never stayed completely faithful to her or to any woman.
Won't you stay all day, wash your hair with my DNA?
All right, hold on. Let me scan down a little bit.
Amazing.
The sexual turn off.
How about some of Elvis's dippity doo?
Hold on. Here's another good part. Now, Natalie Wood. In the late 1950s, she developed a terrific crush on Elvis. She had met in Hollywood. Without much coaxing, she agreed to fly to Memphis with Elvis for the week.
Oh, man, what's that smell?
Hold on. You guys, you're getting ahead of me now.
We just remember this story.
Come on now. So Natalie Wood flies out to Memphis. It was agreed that Natalie would spend a week with Elvis. Natalie left after 6 days.
Get out of here.
Went back home and said to her mother, that boy Elvis can sing, but he can't do much else.
That's right, man.
What Natalie Wood never knew was that the crassness with which Elvis excused his sexual turnoff. What happened with you and Natalie? Lamar asked him one day, incredulous that Elvis had let such a beautiful woman go easily.
She's beautiful, man.
Elvis gave him a grin and uttered a rude description of what advertisements would later call feminine odor.
Smell like a dead tuna, man.
Hey, man, her pee smelled. I mean, her P word.
Yeah.
Her P word smells.
Her kitty cat stunk.
That's one smelly P word.
That's nasty, man. I don't like that around my house. I don't like that in my pretty pink bedroom.
Let me see.
Elvis didn't like fish. I sure like my mascara, though.
Let me see. Also, Elvis dumped June Giannacchio, another girlfriend at the time.
She took my false eyelashes, man.
Okay. Again, when asked why he broke up with a beautiful woman, she smelled.
Wow.
She smelled.
She had odor. She had feminine odor.
One thing that all of Elvis's girlfriends had to do if they wanted to remain his girlfriends was learn the secret baby talk he shared with his mom, Gladys.
Goo goo ga ga.
Butch, for example, was milk, and Edie Dream was ice cream.
Where's my Butch?
When Gladys Presley died in 1958, just as her son was beginning military service, Elvis sobbed. She was always my best girl. This is a quote from Elvis now. She was always my best girl. Goodbye, my darling. I love you so much. I live my whole life for you. With her body lying in state at Graceland, Elvis astonished grieving callers by talking to his mother in the casket. Here's Eddie, Mama. You remember him. You met him down in Texas. Several of the mourners thought Elvis truly had gone over the edge when he began petting her hands and feet.
Yep.
And whipped out his comb to fix her hair.
Let me help you, Mama.
After the funeral, he carried one of her belongings around for days, even sleeping with it, as he sat upright in a chair. The item? His mother's nightgown.
I'd like to wear this after I put on my eyeshadow.
All right, this would be a good time to stop and
towel off.
Come back and
have some chocolate butch.
Find out about Elvis as a man.
I got to cut loose in somebody's hair.
Then Natalie Wood, she stinks.
That's not good, man.
Let me see. When we come back.
A pretty pink phone.
Let me see. We'll talk about Sybil Shepherd, who claims that she taught him about oral.
Yeah, man. He didn't like it, though.
Elvis's love of panties.
I have a fire hose.
And finally, Elvis. Elvis at the very end. Let me just read you one of the quotes. Elvis would lose control of his bladder and bowels.
Oopsie.
Which meant after a night in bed, more than one woman awoke to find a surprise in her bed.
Hot damn tamale.
Oh. So stay there. Happy birthday, Elvis.
Here's your breakfast biscuit.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, what else is on here, man? What else is on, huh?
Only answer in my favor.
Hey, Lukey. It's Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that sh**.
My boy.
Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right, Elvis.
I'm leaving today.
Elvis Presley.
877-365-3636. That's the national number. That works from anywhere. Washington, New York, Seattle, Portland,
Vagabond Shoes,
Reno, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Madison, Wisconsin, Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. And New York, 877-692-1027.
Try listening in the fart sack, the Don and Mike Show.
In a city that never sleeps.
Tomorrow on the show, the live slap off for cash. More violent than ever for the year 2002. Guys slapping each other for cash. Girls slapping each other on the ass. Really hard slaps also tomorrow. The slap off for cash.
I got to know, who is the Elvis impersonator that did this CD?
His name is The King.
It's hysterical.
The name is simply The King.
It's dead on.
He's British.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. Right. Yeah. Anyway, that's tomorrow on the show, the slap off. And the two dopes from Seattle will be on the Today Show tomorrow morning.
The biggest dopes you've ever seen in Seattle.
And hopefully we'll get our props from them when they are interviewed in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. Now... back to, let me get my music ready. Back to the Elvis birthday show.
Very good.
The sexual life of Elvis Presley.
Wow.
The late Mae Axton, who co-wrote Heartbreak Hotel, the song that launched Elvis's career, said, Elvis had a lot of girls that were trying to play up to him. But Elvis was looking for someone who was as kind and decent as his mom. During the 6 months that Priscilla went with him in Germany before Elvis returned stateside, they would slip away to a bedroom where Priscilla always has maintained nothing but cuddling and heavy petting ever took place.
Heavy petting.
Yet she also told Joe Smith, Billy's wife, that they did go all the way in Germany. Priscilla's public line had been that she and Elvis had refrained from intercourse until their wedding night in 1967.
You'd like to see the fire hose.
Even though she had lived with him at Graceland for 5 years before marriage, starting when she was 16.
Damn coitus.
You know, I am not circumcised.
It is irritating me greatly.
Instead of consummating our love in the usual way, Priscilla wrote in her autobiography, he began teaching me other means of pleasing him. Those included photographing each other in a variety of sexual fantasy roles. Such as a teacher seducing a student.
I brought you an apple.
With Priscilla presumably donning the little Catholic uniform
she once wore
every day to Immaculate Conception High School.
I am the headmaster.
Elvis also talked Priscilla into simulating lesbian sex with a hairdresser friend.
Yeah, look who I brought, a hairdresser. Priscilla.
It is unlikely that Elvis would have had sex with aliens if given the chance.
Don't just look at it, Scylla. Eat it.
Oh, no.
Now, wait, hold on. We're gonna get to an important Elvis fact here that never gets played up.
All right.
It's unlikely that Elvis would have had sex with aliens even given the chance, since Elvis was repelled by the idea of intercourse with blacks.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
When he once thought Diana Ross made a pass at him at a traffic light, he ran off like a scared puppy. And when he believed that Priscilla had cheated on him with a famous black rock and roller, he was outraged and wounded to the core. As for Mr. Spock, forget it. No male visitor to the house was ever left alone in Elvis's company. You couldn't carry on a conversation with him, said his friend Mac Davis. There had to be at least four or five guys sitting around staring at you as if to say, you better not mess up. I found it terribly uncomfortable. So, Rob, that's another thing you have in common with Elvis.
Our friendship with Mac Davis?
No, the part about...
Oh, the other thing.
Repelled with the idea of sex with blacks.
I see.
That precaution of having people around may have stemmed from an incident that occurred in Germany with a so-called dermatologist who the acne-scarred Elvis had engaged to come to the home.
Pop my zits, doctor.
One day he was giving Elvis a massage on his face and his shoulders, and all of a sudden he eased his hand down between Elvis's legs and gave him a good squeeze.
Hey, I don't have pimples down there.
Elvis jumped 30 feet in the air.
Get away from me, you fruit.
The Elvis is gay rumor circulated again when the singer began playing Vegas in the 70s. But there's no real evidence to support it.
I shoot the TV with Robert Goulet because I love Robert Goulet.
Elvis's deepest obsession after his mother seems to have been for another woman, Anne Margaret. The couple might have been married, in fact, if Elvis had not instead been pressured by his manager.
She's a nut, man.
Into marrying Priscilla. Even as Scylla, who conceived on their honeymoon, was pregnant with Lisa Marie, Elvis was flirting on a movie set with Nancy Sinatra. And once the baby arrived, Elvis had no sexual contact with Priscilla ever again.
These boots are made for walking.
Now that she was a mother, Elvis told his Memphis pals, he no longer found Priscilla appealing. And the same held true for any woman who had borne a child.
That's it, man.
Instead, 4 months after Lisa Marie's birth, while Elvis was taping his famous comeback special, he ushered young girls into his dressing room like they were on a conveyor belt. Priscilla says, I loved babying Elvis. He had a little boy quality that could bring out the mother instinct in any woman.
Goo goo gaga!
Elvis's next serious girlfriend was beauty queen Linda Thompson. She had no difficulty meeting his needs.
She is a beauty queen, and she does not need coitus.
A lot of people think Elvis had a mother hang-up, she says. He did, and that's not unkind.
Mamo.
A lot of men, if they had a good mother, liked the things in a woman that they liked in their mother.
My mamo.
He called me Mommy, and I called him Little Baby Bunsen.
Hey, I'm your little baby
bunsen. I was like his mommy at times, and he was like my daddy. And we were like brother and sister, like children, and we were like lovers.
Well, why don't you act like an adult, man?
It was a full, rich relationship. Elvis needed more love and care and attention, affection than anybody I've ever met. But after she left, finding Elvis's growing dependency on prescription drugs, suffocating and sad, no other woman stayed with him long. Thompson has saved Elvis's life several times, pulling food out of his throat when he would get loaded on downers and choke, calling doctors just in time when he'd overdosed. But the increasingly young females who now shared his bed couldn't handle such responsibility.
Man, I'm choking on my bread.
Imagine that. You're some young girl, you get into bed with Elvis, and your job is not to bang him, it's...
But pull, like, half-digested food out of his throat.
Out of his throat.
Man, come on, get it. Get my peas and mashed potatoes.
By the mid-1970s, there were other problems. When he wasn't so constipated, he carried trunks of Fleet enemas with him on tour.
Give me an enema, Mommy.
An autopsy of his fecal matter, packed thick in his sluggish intestines, was chalky white, a junkie's last trail. When he wasn't so constipated that he carried trunks of Fleet enemas with him on tour, Elvis occasionally lost control of his bladder and bowels.
Oopsie daisy!
This tended to happen in his sleep, which meant that more than one young groupie awoke to find a surprise in bed.
It was a candy bar, Jack.
Elvis. And there were quirks that made Elvis oddly seem oddly like Howard Hughes.
I'm sleeping on my own ass.
Elvis would refuse to bathe on a regular basis.
No need, man.
And he had very strict guidelines for females. If a prospective date had any dirt under her toenails, for example...
Oh, look at that, man.
She was immediately discounted.
What did you do, walk to school, Jack?
Finally, there was the matter of Elvis's impotence, brought on, like his other health problems, by the massive quantity of pills that Elvis gulped on a daily basis.
Stand up, man.
In the first 8 months of 1977, Elvis took more than 9,000 pills.
My attack.
When Elvis succeeded in coaxing a new woman into his bed, she was likely in for a rude awakening. Instead of sex, she would hear that Elvis needed to conserve his bodily fluids.
I do, man. I have to conserve them.
For a tour. Then either Billy Smith or Smith's wife would be invited into the red and black turfed cave of a bedroom, asked to pull up a chair and share stories about whatever was on Elvis's mind until he went to sleep.
Yeah, how you doing, honey?
During this period, Elvis, who still considered himself the perfect man...
My penis is al dente.
Elvis fantasized about finding the perfect woman to have a baby.
I want a baby.
A boy. To be given the manly name John Baron Presley.
John Baron Cannon.
If he didn't find such a woman, he would contribute to a sperm bank so the child could be conceived after his death.
Chance Armstrong Presley.
Elvis never got around to it, in part because he spent his last days chasing Ginger Alden, who he'd met and taken on a roller coaster ride when she was 5 years old.
I'm exhausted, Jack.
Why don't you give up on her, friends would ask, since Ginger obviously didn't return his affection.
Because I'm too old to train another one, was Elvis's answer.
Within months, Ginger would step over his grotesque body.
God, I'm constipated.
Twisted on the bathroom floor, eager to call the National Enquirer before telling anyone downstairs that Elvis was dead. Today, a 500,000 viewers tramp through Graceland each year, making it the second most visited home in the nation after the White House.
Look at that biological stain.
Across the street is the land that was once a barren field crammed with souvenir shops. The Real Heartbreak Hotel is on the hill in Elvis's mausoleum of a bedroom, where everyone who ever spent much time found himself so lonely he could die.
I'm so lonely I could die.
That is part of the story of Elvis's sex life.
Amazing. Oh, itty dream.
Now, we do have a moment. Robbie, bring me the packet.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a dealer's choice here.
Very good, man.
On a bonus Elvis story.
God, am I constipated.
Now, from our best of Elvis, Mike, well, I got one here that I want, but I'll let you guys decide.
Okay, Jack.
Do you want the story of Elvis and hot dog rolls?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Do you want the story of Elvis and the cough syrup and the champagne flute glasses? Do you want the story of the flashbulbs in the pool?
One's good.
Do you want the story of Elvis shooting the toilet? Do you want the story of Elvis snake hunting? Or do you want the story of Elvis shooting his deodorant tablets?
You know what? I think that really, I'm not familiar with the snake hunting story. I've never heard that one. But have we had the snake hunting story before?
Yeah, we've had it.
Is it good?
Yeah, they're all good.
Tough choices.
They're all good?
Well, all right, go with the snake hunting because I don't remember it.
Let me scan it real quickly. Hold on. I got Elvis shoots toilet and ice maker.
There it is.
Snake hunting. Hold on a second. Here we go. Snake hunting.
Snake hunting.
Oh, it's a quick one.
Yeah. All right.
You know what? I got time to do two. I'll do
excellent.
I'll give you the snake hunting and then the hot dog rolls.
Because that's love the hot dog rolls. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny too. When he's on the horse.
All right. Yeah. Here's the snake hunting. Elvis's delusions got pretty bad. In '76, Jimmy Gamble, Patsy Presley's son, was playing guns with our kids. He got up on the fence. Elvis happened to be looking out, and he saw him, and he thought that Jimmy was somebody looking to assassinate him. Elvis got a machine gun and went outside and yelled, "Hey, where is that son of a bitch? I kill him." And the kids broke running. We had to explain to Elvis it was just Jimmy. And boy, he pinched a fit. They don't need to be playing like that. He was about half out of it on his medication.
Man, give me my machine gun.
He didn't shoot the gun that time, but he did another time. It was 7 or 8 in the morning. Al Strata saw this snake going up a tree at Graceland. He went and started telling Elvis about it. Elvis had already taken his sleeping pills, but now he was ready to go snake hunting.
Oh, yeah.
In a few minutes, somebody called and said Elvis was outside. I went out there, and he was shooting. About half the time, he couldn't even see the snake. I never saw it myself anyway. Elvis looked like some kind of drunk. He'd say, "Here's a snake, I see it." And he'd rear back and let fire. And when he'd shoot, he'd go two steps back and about 10 forward with the gun just waving. Finally, I got him to sit down on the curb. And when I did, well, he just knew he saw the snake again.
I saw it, man.
He cocked the gun again and he shot it. And the old shotgun kicked so hard that Elvis just went right on over and fell in the driveway. I said, Elvis, we might want to go inside. There are some fans down at the gate. And he looked at me and he said, "Yeah, maybe I ought to." I staggered him on in and got him in bed. And I told Al, "Man, you're crazy. Don't ever let Elvis outside with a gun." the pellets had to be spraying all over the road because that's the way he was shooting. Shooting towards the road.
At the snake, man, I see it.
I see it.
That's great. 7 or 8 in the morning, he's taking his sleeping pills, and then he fires an automatic weapon.
I'd like to be one of Elvis's fans.
Oh, down there, and you hear the shotgun go off? Wouldn't that be a treat?
And then you see Elvis
right
sitting on the curb.
After he fell.
And, yeah, and he shoots his gun again, and he falls.
Come on, man. Fans out.
Hey, Robbie, give me some music, and I'm going to do the real quickly. I've got to do the hot dog roll.
The stories are endless. There are just a million of them.
The hot dog rolls.
A man out of control, ladies and gentlemen.
That's one of my favorites. Where's hot dog rolls? Elvis peaches and popsicles.
They're all good.
Let me see real quick. It'll have a page with
Elvis's drug use.
409.
You can't go wrong.
All right, this will be the last one on the Elvis birthday show. But if you love this, wait until, when is it, August, the Elvis death show? That's when we devote the
August
whole show.
16th.
And, you know, inevitably, every year, there will be a new story that will surface about Elvis Presley. He always gives.
The hot dog and hamburger bun kick was a strange one for Elvis. He would tie the wrapper around the horn of his goddamn horse saddle and ride. Right along eating these things. A lot of times, Elvis would take 2 or 3 sleeping pills, and he couldn't sleep them off. Because you can't sleep when you've taken 500 milligrams of something else beforehand. Hell, he'd just get up after 2 hours and go on about his normal day. Let me tell you, Lee Marvin and Cat Ballou didn't have anything on Elvis. Because he would get up on that horse just about the time the sleeping pills took effect. The faster he rode, the more he leaned. He'd walk around the ranch blown out of his skull with his cowboy hat on, gloves, cowboy boots, jeans, and this big padded pile coat that made him look even fatter. He'd be so stuffed in that jacket, his walk was almost a waddle. In his hand, he'd have this plastic see-through bag of hot dog buns. He looked like a little kid walking around with a sack in his hand. He'd talk to you, and he'd be slurring his words, and then he'd take a bite of his hot dog bun, sort of ripping it off. And you couldn't understand what he was saying, for sure. It was just this muffled noise. Someone talking through a hot dog. All right, well.
Elvis Aaron Presley, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy birthday, Elvis. We'll save the rest for Elvis' death day.
Oh, he keeps on giving.
We'll go at it 1,000,000%. Okay, I promise. On Elvis' death day, that's when we're really going to go to town.
Faster the horse would go, the more he'd lean.
Oh, you know, we never got to the Swedish Elvis today.
Yeah.
Mm. We're going to have to get to him on the next Elvis show.
But that CD with Elvis, the Elvis impersonator singing the modern classics.
That's great. So on the way out.
No woman, no cry.
As we say, happy birthday, Elvis.
Happy birthday, E.
No woman, no cry.
67.
Happy birthday, Elvis Presley.
No woman, no cry.
I see him.
You know, that's good
for that. No woman, no cry.
I think we're agreed this one's the best one, though.
Let's see.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best one.
Picture him going on stage with his jumpsuit singing this song.
And a bag of rolls.
Yeah. Hot dog rolls.
Stuffed in his big down jacket. Steven Seagal jacket.
I'm going snake hunting, man.
I see
him. I'm circumcised.
Big wheels keep on turning.
Excuse me, uncircumcised. Uncircumcised.
Yes, my fire hose, Jack.
My king by the Southland.
There will be no coitus.
I'm with my family once again.
Oh, my Peter. All right, that's Elvis' birthday. Listen, a lot of people are sad because this dude, Dave Thomas's dad.
Yes. Right.
The guy, the Wendy's guy. However, we are very lucky on this show that we have the hotline to heaven. And when we come back, a Don and Mike show exclusive.
All right.
As we go to heaven, I'm just trying to pat him to the vocal. A man who also loved hamburger buns, Dave Thomas.
There it is.
He'll be with us right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I am the truth. We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Man.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
It's the home of the Glastonbury Golden Boy.
Oh, there he is.
The Don and Mike Show.
There he is, falling apart.
Oh, that's me.
So tomorrow on the show, I mentioned this a couple of times, the slap off for cash. Guys and girls, more violent. For the year 2002, also, today we spent like zero time talking about Michael Jordan getting divorced. And I think tomorrow, yeah, like you got a shot, Lisa. Tomorrow we'll talk, I believe we may have an exclusive interview with Juanita Jordan on tomorrow's show.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
Wow.
I think I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Hello there.
Oh, God.
I think I can pull it off.
Sure. Excellent, Juanita.
On the telephone.
Very good.
You can ask me anything you want.
I will, Juanita.
About Michael.
Very good.
Oh, he was not a good husband.
Yeah, well, why is that, Juanita?
Well, I got give me some time to
get. Yes, absolutely.
Well, he's always playing the basketballs.
I understand.
Sure. You remember that Michael Jordan originally, like all these stupid athletes, when he quit basketball the first time,
right.
He said it was so he could spend more time with his family.
Right, before he went into spring training.
Yeah.
Right.
So he gets home and he finds out, like the rest of us, that really having a family is a giant pain in the ass.
Speak for yourself.
When you gotta be there with the woman and with the kids, you know, 24/7
living with them.
It's being a family man is great, but
it's fantastic.
It also kind of sucks. So the first thing Michael Jordan does is immediately. He gets into a sport which is going to keep him away from his family even more.
Then he eventually gets back into basketball.
Yeah, and now...
I get the impression maybe his wife wasn't all that thrilled with his comeback.
He and Juanita have broken up. So tomorrow on the show, let me just jot that down very quickly.
Did she play herself in Space Jam, or was that a woman playing Mrs. Jordan?
Juanita.
I think it may have been a woman playing Mrs. Jordan.
Good. Tomorrow we'll discuss Michael Jordan's divorce and have Juanita. Also tomorrow, the slap-off. You want to see pictures of Mike's gay... winter headband.
They're great.
Go to WNEW.com.
It's lovely.
At least I think we have two things to mention here. First, Mike from the Bedford Fire Department.
Yeah.
You know, the guys are bowling against tomorrow night.
Right.
He called to say he was only kidding about the pot.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
We all were.
He's concerned, right?
Yeah, I guess no, that's just being silly.
He had a boss or something. He was concerned about that.
Well, he just wanted to clarify. You know, he thought maybe on the air he came across that, like, he would know.
No, he didn't at all.
All right, what was the problem with the guy at Costco?
Well, I got a call from wherever the letter was from.
Right.
For that Costco in that city.
Your lesbian lover?
Okay.
Well, the girl who allegedly wants to rub her breasts against yours.
Right. Our naked breasts together pajama party, right.
Right.
Anyway, so the manager, Rob, from a store in that city called, and his boss had called him very, very upset, and I believe his wife was very upset. It is not the Costco in that city from which she wrote the letter from. He has no employee by that name, so just wanted to clarify. I think it was Edison, New Jersey. That Costco is not the one we're talking about.
Very good.
How can we have to be making all of these apologies and restatements when we only have a 0.9 share?
I don't understand. A lot of people are listening, and it's a 0.9 share.
Right. So yeah, right. I mean, we don't even have a 1% of the audience listening.
Come on!
We should be able to say anything we wanted.
Give us a break. Nobody should care.
And
right.
It should go without without even being noticed. Oh, the original hotline guy's on the phone? Hotline guy.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, you're defeated.
No, I'm not defeated.
Yeah, you're defeated. Yeah. You didn't get the hotline.
No, well, you hold it on for a kind of tight, and she haven't been able to give it to me yet.
What? What was that, my brother?
You were talking when we were talking.
What was that, my brother?
We're kind of tight, and she haven't been able to give it to me yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
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 Liar.
Listen, we defeated you. You don't have the hotline number, and I still got $1,000 out on your ass, my friend.
You'll never find out. Your listener's sorry. Tell them that's the best they can do, man.
You know, the thing is, you said you were going to have it the next day.
And I believe it's almost a week later now.
Yes, it is.
No, it's only Tuesday, man. It happened Friday.
Oh, no way.
No, it happened on Thursday, and you said you would have our new hotline number by Friday.
Well, when you spit it out, I'll get it.
What? When I do what?
When you spit it out, I will get it.
No, you won't.
Oh, and incidentally, I figured out the way that this guy got the hotline.
Ah, good.
I know how. I don't know what genius it was at play in the studios of WJFK, but if you notice on the telephone,
right,
there are gigantic stickers that say... Hotline number,
right.
Snow line number.
Yeah.
Okay, anytime we have anybody in the studio to play a game or something,
right.
Or the sports junkies have people in to play a game,
right.
All someone has to do is walk over by Mike's side of the studio, you know, where EB sits during the junkies show, and you could get the hotline, because
it's right there in big numbers.
Gigantic, on the telephone.
I've never been into your studio.
Yeah, whatever. Listen, all I know is that...
Whose show I've been on?
You don't have our hotline.
Yeah, you don't have any source.
You don't have our hotline. You'll never get our hotline.
Come up, ditto.
And you are absolutely not relevant. You're not a supervillain. Goodbye.
Good day to you, sir.
There he's gone. Like the
way. Okay, I've covered all of that. We're sad to tell you that Dave Thomas from Wendy's is dead. Died of heart or kidney or something. And I'm going to turn on the Wayback Machine now. The beauty of the Don and Mike show that as soon as somebody dies...
We can communicate with the dead.
That's we can take great. You right up to heaven. So let's
hey, is this
hello, Dave?
Yeah, hey. How you doing?
Who is this, Dave Thomas?
Hi, Dave Thomas is here. Enjoying a chili and a biggie fry. How are you?
Well, I'm...
Don, are you there?
What?
Don! Don!
I'm trying to work on the reverb.
Hey, Don, how you doing? I'm dead.
I think the only way this is going to work is if we both have reverb.
Hey, Don!
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Don.
You're now super frosty, huh?
I'm having a frosty and a chicken cordon bleu sandwich up here. Really bummed out about the fact that I'm dead. I guess you won't be seeing me on those commercials anymore.
Well, you know, those commercials for the longest time, they troubled us. Those commercials with you in the car with the kids.
Oh, you didn't like that. You mean you noticed the fact that I used to like to fill my antique automobiles with children? Go for a ride in the park and have a good time. And I'd have the kids reach into my bag and pull out French fries, a biggie fries, and a double with cheese.
So, Dave, are you ready to admit anything now that you're dead?
Well, yeah, I have to come clean on the fact that I just used to like children. I really did. Sorry about that. You know, I know I was selling burgers to kids and stuff, but the fact is, nothing would make me happier than to get a couple of those little kids to sit on my lap. I'm sorry, it's the truth. I gotta come clean now that I'm up in heaven. And you know, as a matter of fact, that's why I used to like the mascot, Wendy, because of those cute little pigtails. Yeah, that's the truth. That's the way it works. I was buried covered in Swiss cheese and bacon. Right now I'm enjoying myself up here with a bacon cheddar cheeseburger. Well, I tell you, that's what killed me. I'll be honest with you.
Buzz, what is the story? What exactly killed Dave Thomas?
They don't know for sure. He's had some heart trouble and kidney trouble as well.
Liver cancer. Could have been anything, you know, with my lifestyle. I knocked back about 3 or 4 doubles with cheese, bacon, cheddar, cheeseburgers, chili, frosties, chocolate frosties. And, you know, by the time I was done, I'll tell you, you'd think Elvis's colon was impacted.
Now, what about up in heaven? Have you met, for instance, I'm trying to think of any dead kids that you could hit on.
No, they're keeping me away from the kids up here. They won't have anything to do with that. Once I came clean, they said, no more children in contact with you, but I'm up here playing cards with Ray Kroc. He's dead, too. You know, he found a McDonald's. Colonel Sanders is over here, too. We're going to have a big poker game a little bit later on. And Orville Redenbacher's dropping by. They're all dead, you know.
I'm sure you've been able to hook up with JonBenet Ramsey.
No, they won't let me anywhere near. It's ridiculous. So I got to, you know, commiserate. What they do is they cordon it off and they section us all over here. I'm up here with all the fast food people right now. We're really having a good time. Said I think Orville Redenbacher's a cheater, and I think he's gay.
Wow. What about Roy Rogers? Is he up there?
Roy and Dale are both up here. They're sitting over here right now. They play music. They don't like the card games too much. You know, they're born again and stuff like that.
Why do you think Orville Redenbacher's gay?
I said we touched me when he handed me the cards. He brushed his fingers, his bony little fingers right across the top of my meaty hand.
Well, you know, you might be gay, Dave.
Well, I'll tell you right now, tomorrow I've got tennis with Jack in the Box. Really looking forward to it, you know. We're having a good time. We're having a barbecue. We're going to see who can make the best burger. Then I'm going to whip up some of my Dave Thomas chili. I'm wearing my white button-down short-sleeve white shirt and my big belt.
So what happens when you die? At what area when you're climbing to heaven?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Hey, Don.
What?
Did I hear you thought my commercials suck?
Well, I always found it odd that you were driving around in those big antique cars with all the kids.
I know I speak for everybody in the Wendy's organization when I say about that particular item. F you, you effing F.
On your way to heaven, and I'm surprised that someone who is, and what you're telling us here is that you at least in some respects enjoyed part of the pedophile lifestyle.
I didn't say that. I didn't admit to anything like that. I just used to like to jam as many children in my car as I possibly could and drive through the park. I'd lure them to the car with all sorts of free fast food.
But up in heaven, they won't let you near children, right?
No, not at all. No, all they do is let me sit here with Ray Kroc and Colonel Sanders. He's got a potty mouth, I'll tell you right now.
Okay, so when you get up to heaven, at what point did they stop you before you got in to say that at least the commercials were driving around with kids?
I've got a broccoli and cheese potato stuffed in my Duke right now.
I'm not going to get any answers, I don't think, about the kids. Let me ask you, have you hooked up with that old broad that wears the beef lady?
Yeah, Claire Peller. She's fantastic, you know. She's a little long in the tooth, but of course, we're all the same age now. We're dead. And she still likes sex. She likes Dave Thomas's man meat. I'm going to show her how I prepare my onions a little bit later on. She is one serious piece of ass.
So,
I like her.
What is it like dying, Dave?
It's not as exciting as you may think. And it's not as enlightening either, you know. It's really basically the same thing. I've got a very nice deluxe suite overlooking a nice green lawn. But basically, I can't do what I want. Drive my antique car and collect children. That's what I like to do. I really do. I miss it down on the earthly plane. I really do. I wish I could go down there and make some of those suck-ass commercials tomorrow.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Do you know anything like that now that you're dead? Are you privy to any information?
Sure am. I'll let you know it's going to be the Jets.
The Jets are winning the Super Bowl.
Jets are going to the bowl. Yeah, Jets are going to go to the bowl. I'll tell you right now. Hey, look at that. My toenails are still growing. That's pretty cool. I think I'll clip them off and put them in a Frosty. See if one of the kids gags on that. Fantastic.
All right, well, Dave, what would you have as your final message to the men and women who work at and patronize your Wendy's fast food restaurants?
I'd like to share this with all the people listening to your show right now. Be sure you wear a clean white shirt and a nice tie and underwear. And in the summertime, make sure it's a clean white short sleeve shirt so you don't sweat on the buns. You never want to sweat on the buns. That's the first rule of fast food. And make sure you have a nice biggie fries with that burger. And try my chicken corn and blue stuff. Why are you turning me away?
Hey, I'm not turning you away.
Hell! Hell! Oh, no! Go F yourself! The whole wheat chicken breast.
Oh, that's, there he goes. That's it. He's gone.
Boy, he was he's a little hostile.
Dave Thomas.
I don't understand that.
Well, we had done that bit for years about the fact that he used to drive around in the car just with young children.
Yeah, it's always very disturbing to us.
Okay. let's go to Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
We have to have covered it already. Dave Thomas is dead. Michael Jordan's getting divorced.
Right. Amazing. Believe it or not.
What?
Those are my top stories. Coming up next, I'll tell you what I know about Wendy's Dave Thomas being dead.
Okay, all right. Well, I think you just heard it all.
Yeah, you held all the details.
But stay tuned anyway, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Everything professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet
Crackpot. You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's a national number. You just heard. Let's see, Salt Lake City, Seattle, Portland, Las Vegas, Madison, Wisconsin.
course, D.C., New York. D.C., your hotline on WJFK 202-432-1067. In New York, WNEW, your special number is 877-692-1027. Someday... That's just one phone number for everybody.
Wow. Amen. They can bust freestyle, but choose not to.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Right. Let me just see who's calling here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
No, hold on.
Hello, Don and Mike.
No.
You know what I just did? You see
what?
That?
You didn't.
Yeah, I did. I did. I just, never mind.
I just, all the lines are ringing, and I press the button out, it cancels out all the phones.
Maybe one day it'll be one phone, you know, one phone bank.
That's hello, Don and Mike.
One button. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, I'm
a listener.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm a disc jockey. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Actually, I really have nothing to say. I'm just on my lunch break.
Nor do I.
And the number came over, and I like you guys, so I figured I'd just call and say hi.
Thank you.
That's good. Welcome to 0.9%.
Well, I like seeing, you know, the phones were, like, have been ringing the whole day. We spent virtually no time going to your telephone
call.
Very
busy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is Salt Lake City checking in.
So, you know, we got all these phone lines ringing, and if I press this button right here that says off,
right. they all hang up.
They all hang up.
Yeah, it's designed to clear lines for contest.
So my apologies. Yes, hello from Salt Lake City.
Well, why don't we have, how do we even keep this show on in Salt Lake City? You're a great show, but how do we do that here?
I'm amazed I haven't pulled this off in Salt Lake City yet. I really am.
Brent Wayne and I just listen to you constantly, and you're a great show, but how does it last?
It lasts, I think we've got to get some ratings in Salt Lake.
With you listening, how.
We must be on the worst.
I don't know if I'm the only one, though.
I believe you are.
I take that back. My dumbass friend Trevor listens.
We must be on the worst station in Salt Lake City. What is the station that we're on?
It's on 1230 ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio. Well,
yeah,
you know,
we listen to your show and we switch off of it, but your show's great and we love you here.
All right, well, thank you, my friend. Yeah, frankly,
well, thank you.
I'm amazed that we're still on Salt Lake as well. But, you know, more power to them.
Tell your friends we're Mormons.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, no, Mormons, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, that was the best 2 hours in radio. First, the Elvis show. I was on the floor. And then Dave Thomas with the children, that was so great.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. See you later.
I gotta thank you guys. Whatever happened to that burper guy? I never hear him anymore.
Is this the burper guy?
No, I'm not the burper guy.
Come on.
No, it's not.
All okay. Right, we thought you might be the burper guy.
All right, goodbye.
All right.
Bye.
Burper guy.
It just seems to me when a guy calls in and asks where what happened to the burper guy,
he is the burper guy.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, this is Mike. I just wanted to let you guys know that you have more than one listener in Salt Lake City. I'm actually driving around in a work truck right now with the Don and Mike 316 sign up in the back of the window, giving you guys a little advertising.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
That 316, does it matter to those folks out there in Salt Lake City? Is the 316, I mean, don't the Mormons have their own Bible or something like that? The Book of Mormon.
The Church of Latter-day Saints?
Right.
That's the one.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
We're not theologians, you and me. We're real out of our depth when we start talking about that.
All right, but thank you anyway. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Y'all have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Well, Robbie?
I think the Book of Mormon is similar. I think the Old Testament or the New Testament that they look at and they disregard the other one.
That was Rob pretending he knows something he knows nothing about.
Buzz, hi. How are you?
Hi, Don and Mike. I'm well, thank you. And I guess we're stuck with Carrot Top. Wendy's founder Dave Thomas has died at the age of 69.
Carrot Top! So why are we stuck with Carrot Top?
Because he's been doing the Wendy's. He's doing the Wendy's commercials lately.
Is Carrot Top doing Wendy's?
I thought he was doing 1-800-COLLECT.
Yes, and also Wendy's.
I have never seen you caught me off guard. I've never seen Carrot Top do a Wendy's.
Wait till you see this. You'll just be sick about it.
Top. Wait. Jesus. What's happening to America?
I don't know.
Okay.
My theory is Carrot Top was Wendy. You know what? Carrot Top, seriously, is getting a lot of exposure. Uh-huh. He may have made the big move to sign that pact with the devil.
Oh, you mean to sign the Larry King deal, the Kathy Lee Gifford deal with Satan?
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, incidentally, Satan, if you're listening today to the show, I'm ready to sign that deal. After a 0.9 share in New York, I'm ready to sign that deal as well.
Might be a good idea. Dave Thomas passed away around midnight at his home in Florida. No word on what killed him, but he'd been on kidney dialysis for the past year.
Hey, the witching hour.
And had quadruple bypass surgery about 6 years ago. Michael Jordan's wife wants a divorce now that he started scoring again.
Actually, 42-year-old.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes, I do.
42-year-old.
I will be on the show tomorrow. This is Juanita Jordan.
Hi, Juanita. How are you?
Hello there, man. How are you, baby?
I'm so sorry about your divorce, Juanita.
Did you get your bags, old baby?
I did indeed. I got the refill today.
Are you able to complete, baby?
No, I'm not. I wish you could help me,
baby.
Juanita. I really wish now that you're a single woman.
Juanita,
you know,
take care of your needs.
I wish you could.
You come strong to the hole.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Juanita. Juanita cites irreconcilable differences after a dozen years of marriage. She wants the kids, their suburban Chicago mansion, and half of the rest of their property. Jordan, who's 38, is worth about $400 million.
He has a teeny, teeny weenie.
Don mentioned a minute ago when he retired from the Bulls in 93, he said it was to spend more time with his family.
I'll be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to speaking with you, Juanita.
Call me JJ.
Hi, JJ.
Juanita Jordan.
All right.
Hi, baby.
JJ. Florida's suicide pilot came disturbingly close to a jetliner full of passengers before crashing into that skyscraper Saturday. Air traffic controllers now say the Cessna flown by Charles Bishop came within 1,000 feet of a Southwest Airlines 737 that had just taken off. One controller says it was just by the grace of God the pilot saw it. And officials now believe Bishop only wrote the bin Laden suicide note for publicity. They say he was the flag bearer at school assemblies, belted out "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," and wanted to join the U.S. Air Force.
I don't want to take anything away from pilots, but when they make a statement just by the grace of God, well, they saw it, right?
That
and that's
it.
What the that's what the pilot's job is, to look out the front of the plane and see if there's going to be
he passed overhead, so they were the air traffic controller is saying it's lucky that the pilot looked up and saw the plane overhead.
Guys, please.
Yes.
Buzz's News is brought to you by Hard Times Cafe.
Yes, it is.
Great food, good people, cheap prices.
Thanks for interrupting us, Doug.
I had to get the read in. Sorry.
Some things are more important.
Sorry. Yes.
Good chilling. A congressman had to pull down his pants at Washington's Reagan National Airport over the weekend. 75-year-old Michigan Democrat John Dingell.
Hey, did he have any berries?
Dingleberry.
Was trying to board a Northwest flight to Detroit, a trip he makes about 100 times a year. Dingell kept setting off the metal detector. He was wearing a metal knee brace and has metal pins in his artificial hip.
That's not true. He had a scrotum piercing.
All that was made worse when Dingell refused
to say that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah, right. Say that.
Just jewelry.
They won't delete that out.
Dingell refused to send his wallet.
They would delete out. You said he had something between his nutsack. His balls. His big hairy balls.
With a piece of jewelry there.
Yeah.
Security really.
That I think they would delete out.
Very good. Security really got upset when Dingell refused to send his wallet through the X-ray machine. He explained that was because some jewelry had been stolen from his wife at a security checkpoint a few weeks ago.
That's where he has his condom.
Where?
In his wallet.
His wallet.
You'd think, after all that's happened, there wouldn't be so much of this.
What?
In Los Angeles, an airline passenger wielding a shoe struck a flight attendant and opened the plane's rear door.
Let me out!
It happened as the Southwest Airlines flight was about to take off for Las Vegas. Authorities say 36-year-old David Boone of New Orleans was apparently very drunk. Also yesterday.
Really, do you think so?
Also yesterday, security at Chicago's Midway Airport stopped a 20-year-old man armed with 4 pocket knives, a box cutter, 2 flares, and a bottle of lighter fluid. Both men in jail without bail now face federal charges.
Well, I'm glad they got that guy. Good, because that would have been one of the stories that you would have heard about.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I would hope with all that crap that they were able to get the guy.
At least one place security was working.
Oh, good. Hold on there, Buzz. Hello, right. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I know you guys are a couple stories past it already, but you mentioned Carrot Top and Wendy's. I've never seen those commercials either, but I know I saw Carrot Top a few years ago, mm-hmm. and as part of his act, he used to put his hair up in pigtails and say he was Wendy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Surprised.
Okay, well, that's the real Carrot Top right there.
Yeah,
right. If you ever look at Carrot Top, take a look at his eyebrows, and you'll see that he plucks his eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I mean, I don't know how normal that is.
I'll tell you, you make fun of Carrot Top, but his comedy act, his live show is pretty funny.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, I swear to God,
I
got free tickets, went to the show, and it was actually very funny.
No, listen, Gallagher laughs at Carrot Top, please. And you know what I saw? Speaking of, I saw on Comedy Central a couple of weeks ago. You know, why is it that Gallagher has this deal where he still gets specials?
He does.
Do you know he's now shaved his head? really.
Gallagher?
Gallagher shaved his head.
He was nearly bald to begin with.
Well, no, he had like the mullet. He had the long hair.
Yeah, he had
hair,
the long rednecky hair.
Cap over his bald head. And all of the morons who were at this Gallagher show.
Sitting in the front two rows
right.
With the raincoats on.
No, with tarps.
Tarps.
I mean, they are there. They can't even see the guy.
Here's a watermelon.
Covered with the tarps.
Here's a sledgehammer. It's the best way.
It's so much fun. But even Gallagher is funnier than Carrot Top.
This is a great show. Duh.
Carrot Top
what?
Is...
What?
Isn't it true that... What?
What?
Isn't it true that Carrot Top is doing Gallagher's act, except he doesn't smash watermelons?
Yeah, pretty much.
They
have the same kind of goofy stuff where he just puts things together.
Prop comics.
Yeah, like right. Bobby Hill wants to be.
Gotcha.
Thousands of Middle Eastern men have vanished inside this country after being ordered to leave this country, and now U.S. officials say they'll start hunting them down. The Justice Department has a list of 6,000 names, all men who've ignored deportation orders. And the department's making a top priority out of finding, arresting, and removing these guys. Arab American groups are worried about racial profiling, and they say most of the people ignoring deportation orders are from Latin America.
Yeah, but it was really good to let them go in the first place.
Right.
Hold on. John, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Yeah.
What is Buzz's news source for this Carrot Top Wendy?
I saw the commercial on television as recently as last night.
I've never seen it either.
Okay, psychopaths. I just called Wendy's and they swear there is no Carrot Top Wendy's commercial, that he's not been hired. And they said they would sooner use...
There's a credit, ladies and gentlemen.
You got it.
Making up the news. Horse's hiney hole.
Yeah, there believe the belcher.
Okay.
All right.
That was terrific. Right.
There he goes. He's just trouble buzz.
I think so. You know, I don't mind that guy. That guy, he's the one I don't like. Glenn the janitor, him I hate.
Right. You know, he knows how to get our attention. Do you know how we all stopped with that?
Yeah.
Simultaneously, we were all just waiting. Where does he get his information? Right.
Well, I've not seen the Wendy's ad either, which is why, you know, I was curious. And Rob and I were both making this.
Well,
you know, Buzz gets high sometimes.
He's wacky.
You know, he might have thought he saw Carrot Top doing Wendy's.
What was
commercial?
The gist of the commercial? Just
I don't even remember now. It was a Carrot Top in a locker room, I think.
That is an ATT commercial.
Oh, they must have just blended together then. I had a couple of cocktails at dinner last night.
There was the one where he is in a locker room is an AT&T commercial.
Okay. Are you basing this on just what you saw on television?
I don't know. Now, see, I'm doubting my own sanity now. I don't know. I give up. I surrender. I don't know.
So Carrot Top
either
may
way,
not be the new spokesperson for Wendy's.
Either way, my statement still stands. We're stuck with Carrot Top.
Do you think that...
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
The fact that we're... Yes, we are stuck with Carrot Top.
Dave Thomas is gone from commercial land, but Carrot Top is still with us. Why? Where's the justice in that?
That was
the point.
Wow.
Okay.
But it's AT&T does commercials.
Fine.
For
whatever.
You really think that it might be...
I don't know.
But now you don't...
I don't know.
Really?
I'm doubting my own sanity.
All right. Now we have to find out.
Well, no, I know. I would be able... I would bet anything that Buzz has just screwed up the AT&T commercials.
Yeah,
That must be it.
Because have you seen the one where he's in the locker room where he's wearing the basketball uniform?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an AT&T commercial.
I've seen the one where he's playing hockey, too.
Yeah, and the one where he's on the sightseeing bus in New York. Those are all AT&T commercials.
If it'll help, I'll concede that point.
Well, no, I mean, if you strongly believe...
No, I don't know. I don't care.
...that he does... Well, we care.
Yeah.
If you strongly believe that he's done Wendy's commercials...
We'll find out. Perhaps I'm wrong.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Yeah,
just
right,
an assumption on my part.
Rob is doing a search right now, a Carrot Top search.
Hey, he has a website.
He has a website.
Why you care?
All right, hold on.
Here's a guy who says he saw the commercial, Buzz.
Hey, okay. Look at that.
Now, see, here's a guy backing you up.
Here's why we care. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hi, Tom.
Okay, yeah, I do agree with Buzz. I did see a commercial with Carrot Top as Wendy. It's been quite a few years ago, but he was dressed up like her and had his hair in the pigtails and all that.
He was
my dealer, ladies and gentlemen.
He was not.
Thank you for calling your support call.
Yeah. He did do a few commercials like that.
Okay, goodbye.
Tomorrow. That's a poor call.
Goodbye.
That's a poor call.
Hello, Joel in Las Vegas. Joel.
Hey, that kind of rung a bell. I remember seeing that spot this morning driving by the MGM because Carrot Top is playing the MGM for the next week.
Oh, that's sick.
They show on their big marquee out front the colored screen going on, and it showed that picture where he sticks his head through the Wendy's poster, and he doesn't make himself look like Wendy.
Do you think maybe that's an ad for his show?
No, that's definitely not from his show, but I think that the commercial I had seen that Dave Thomas was rubbing his hair and stroking, calling him Wendy, but I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
I've never seen it. I swear to God. And Buzz, if you're right about this, I'll give you the props.
No,
there was a commercial where Dave Thomas is stroking Carrot Top's hair. With Carrot Top dressed as Wendy.
I don't know.
Oh, Wendy, I want to please you greatly.
This is just killing me.
Whatever it is. Hello, Dave?
Dave Thomas?
Dave?
Yeah.
Hi.
I barely hear you, man.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
Okay.
The 1-800-COLLECT commercials, Carrot Top's in.
Yeah, no, okay. We know right. about those.
Tell us something we didn't know.
Okay, all right, what did I say? Did I say AT&T or what?
Yeah, 1-800-COLLECT. We all run together.
It's phone commercial.
Collect phone commercial. Right. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, happy New Year.
Mike, wait, hold on. Oops, hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Buzz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
I just don't understand. How do you mix up a hamburger commercial with a long-distance call commercial?
Heavy drinking at dinner, sir.
It's like Terry Hatcher being in a car commercial and mistaking it for a Kotex commercial.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. No sense.
I'd argue with that.
Thank you. Hey,
let me rub your hair, Carrot Top.
Hey, Mike, why don't you share your pastel with him?
I will.
Yeah, because now I want to take my own life.
See, now, Mike, now look at this. This is a good sign for you.
Yeah.
Spotlight off, Mike.
Turn it around.
Spotlight on, Buzz.
Yeah. It's prostate milking time.
Hello, Donna Mike's show.
Yeah, it is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I think that thing with Carrot Top was just a bit that he used to do.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh,
yeah, I think that might be it.
I'm probably wrong.
Now, hold on. Here's another guy who says he saw the Carrot Top Wendy commercial Buzz is talking about.
I don't know.
Mike.
Yeah.
You saw the commercial.
Well, actually, it's been a few years, but I've seen a commercial where Carrot Top was probably about 9 years old and Dave Thomas was spanking his ass.
Okay. All right. Get out of here.
Can I get Melwood in larger letters?
D.A. Buzz, good news for you. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
One last thing, that live commercial that we just read for DC.
Yes.
It's important that you must say at the end of it, use as directed.
Very good.
Right.
So I just said that.
What an incredible night it's been already tonight, live in Madison Square Garden.
What?
Mike?
I was just saying, it's been an incredible night.
What?
It's been a great night.
What?
I'm here tonight.
What?
Steve, you know, it's going to just...
What?
It's going to just get even...
What?
No, go ahead.
What?
Oh, I was going to ask you...
What?
Gold medalist twat putters.
What?
Don and Mike.
All right, clear them out. Call 100 time right now. You know the phone number where your call is from. Good luck. Dial recklessly. Be the 100th caller. And don't forget, you got to know your call 100 here. Once again, is Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. You've got to be crying about this. Jim Mora's been fired as head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
Dear.
I was wrong about that. Everybody roll tape tonight on ESPN. There's got to be some great Jim Mora stuff happening.
Rave out time. Colts went 6-10 this season. Also, some other coaching news today. Mike Shanahan has decided to stay with the Denver Broncos, turning down a possible move to succeed Steve Spurrier as Florida football coach.
Steve Spurrier, the next head coach of your Washington Redskins.
How long do you think we'll have to wait before that all plays out?
I would bet within a week.
Really?
I think so.
For the big bet.
Uh-huh.
The NBA is fining the owner of the Dallas Mavericks $500,000. That's the biggest individual fine in NBA history.
I love that guy, Mark Cuban. He is really a nut job.
He can afford it, and he goes nuts whenever he wants.
What did he do now?
Well, this fine is for his repeated criticism of the referees, especially, though, after Dallas lost to San Antonio on Saturday.
You know, how dumb is that? You're not allowed to criticize the referees.
Yeah, well, in most sports you can't do that or you get fined. And Dennis Rodman's been arrested again, this time for refusing to let police enter his restaurant.
How you doing, Dennis?
I don't know. I'm fine,
Hey, what was Carmen Electra doing to you?
She baited me. right before I came down here.
That's our favorite Dennis Rodman moment of all time.
She baited me.
Dennis Rodman's at a press conference.
Yeah.
I believe he's still playing basketball.
That's right.
And they say, where were you? You were late. And he says, he was upstairs in his room, and then Carmen Electra was J-O-ing him.
She J-O'd me.
Police wanted to investigate whether Rodman is serving alcohol after 2 a.m., which is illegal in Newport Beach, California.
Hey, early morning, have a drink.
And finally, CNN has yanked the ad calling Paula Zahn sexy.
Well, because she's not.
Good, right, yeah.
Zahn is the new morning news anchor on CNN.
Please, Wolf Blitzer is sexy.
Yes, you're darn right he is.
And the ad's promoting Paula's show, calling her provocative and just a little sexy over what sounds like a zipper being opened, along with extreme close-ups of her lips.
Wow.
CNN executives...
Tonight on CNN, it's... Paula Zahn.
Candy Crowley, just a little sexy.
CNN executives say they're outraged by the ad and that they're just as offended as Paula. They say the ad premiered over the weekend without their approval. They had a heyday with this at rival news channel Fox. Anchor Britt Hume closed his evening newscast yesterday by promising to be fair and balanced, but not even a little bit sexy.
No problem.
That's fantastic.
It's I'm the somewhat fair, very sexual, and sometimes confused Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. So we got to go. Thank you for all the great phone calls, all the great instant feedback today. Tomorrow on the show, the Slap Off 2002.
Fantastic.
Now listen, we're giving away cash, okay? We're giving away $100 to the male champion, $100 to the female champion. We need at least two guys to come down here to the Dynamite World Broadcast headquarters at 57th and 7th.
That's right.
In the city. And it's real simple. You slap each other until one of you can go no more.
And a lot of times they go the whole way.
And girls, you do it bare ass.
Oh!
Girls slapping each other on their bare asses. If you want to play, call Johnny, call Lisa. That is tomorrow on the show. Plus, don't forget about the two guys from Seattle. In front of the movie theater waiting for Star Wars.
Very exciting.
They'll be on the show tomorrow. They'll be on the Today Show. And Rob's going to wrestling tonight. And Mike is going through whatever Mike is going through.
Yeah, man.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I'm going to be watching for Wendy's commercial.
A Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. Am I using the wrong phone system again? Maybe I am. Hi, Don and Mike.
I'm caller 100.
Yes, what's your name?
John Gonzalez.
Johnny, where are you from?
Centerville.
Johnny, you've won the WWF Royal Rumble prize pack. WWF Royal Rumble in demand in your home Sunday, Jan 21st at 8 p.m. Everybody else call Comcast and Cox Cable now to order the WWF Royal Rumble. Thank you, my friend. Hello?
Yeah.
DA, thanks. Hold on. DA?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, thanks to Amtrak. The Amtrak promise, satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-800-USA-RAIL to make a reservation. See you tomorrow. Thank you. Good day to you, sir.
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 Oh, and check out Mike's faggy headband at WNEW.com.
It's reversible. I'm going to wear the black side from now on.
That's it. Got to go. Robbie, can you?
Can you be Einkay?
Can you be kind? Throw your hat in the air just like Sydney Tyler...
You might just make it after all.
All right, we gotta go.
So long, everybody.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.